ask how are they functioning, and as a committee, we decided in a meeting, in an official meeting, that let's call our core chairperson and his portfolio committee of police. The aim and the purpose of this meeting, when this incident happened, we were all as leaders issuing statements, interviews, and immediately that, as chairperson with the collective of the committee, so that everybody, welcome Minister, everybody is concerned about what is going on and what has happened. But listening and reading the statements that leaders of police, the committee of police, the PSL, they all issued the statements condemning what happened in Moses Mabhida. This committee decided that we cannot ask questions to media. They are all leaders of the nation. Let's call a committee like this in order that they must tell how they work. As a committee, we have said there is SAFA, there is PSL, there is management of the stadium, there is police, there is SASRIA of our own as a committee. So those people, they need to be together in order that we must get the gaps, we must chart the way forward from here. What do we do? And our minister, what is she saying about this SASRIA, that SASRIA doesn't have amazinyo? Because you can't, after an incident, you do appeal. So we have seen that also we have a gap there. So the meeting of today is not the meeting of scoring points from any of you. And we are not here to accuse each of you. As a nation, when incidents of this nature, we need to do. And let me thank that sometimes you will be saying that that committee, do we account in this committee? But really, we are committees of Parliament, national, and some of us were worried. Now, every now and then, these Kaizer Chiefs, those Orlando Pirates, maybe now Sundowns, those bigger clubs, they are having a membership of our sons and daughters. And what is it that when we're supposed to go and watch the game, when you are going there, you know that you will lose or win. And we want also to know, how did you put a rule or a law in your area that when events disrupt and disrupt as what they've done, you are going to charge a fee from the club? Which means every now and then they will be doing that, because there are no consequences of individual, because he felt that he must do what they've done. We are here today to chart a way forward, and we want to assist each other. So please, that's the only thing that made us to be here. And I'll be going to be very strict. If one of you police, SAFA, PSN, management, stadium, and whoever, we are going to defend your good selves, not telling us the weakness and the problems. We are the only parliament of South Africa that can implement and correct and act on the gaps, because we are the parliament of South Africa. With those words, Honorable Minister, morning DG, and all the officials who are here from both Dr. Khoza, where is he? Thank you to be called by this committee, and you decided to come. You will tell whom also who is here. Thank you, comrade. Comrade is always the name. Chairperson, to leave everything of your committee which you were supposed to sit and decided to come. General, with your entourage, we do say thank you. We know that the nation is burning, and that's why we don't want even the stadiums burned, because we don't know that 2.6 million, whose responsibility are those. SAFA, I'm saying you tell whom you're with. Any other, our media, our colleagues, portfolio committee, we welcome you. Private securities are here. Thank you so much. We didn't pay for you to come here. You have taken out of your pockets, which those pockets sometimes when our daughters and sons are doing destructive things in our stadium, they are supposed to be charged. And you must tell us, how did you come to that? Police also, you must tell us that, are you going to ban those people who have done that, that will never ever be in the stadium? With those words, I'm welcoming everybody. According to the program, where's our program? Okay. We'll start by, it said, honorable members, this is the program. Can I ask anyone to adopt the program, the agenda of today? Honorable Bergman.
Thanks, Chair. So I adopt.
Honorable Bergman proposed to adopt the agenda of the day. Any second? Honorable Ralhom. Thank you. Honorable members, you know that this is a busy week. We're not having enough time outside the honorable members of a portfolio committee of sport. The what is this? The last item in the agenda have agreed to themselves when they are saying that they don't think that we can finish in time. Can we also call them lotteries on another day? I was thinking that I've said so, but because in weekend, you know, we are all leaders. Sometimes we think that we have issued that message. Lottery is not going to be with us today with that cancellation. Anyone who's going to brief us from Premier Soccer League and tell us who are you and are you alone and who else who's here? Thank you so much, Dr. Alvin Khoza.
delegation. I have
just a moment, a procedural issue. Honorable Minister, I'm suspecting I've omitted this. You're supposed to welcome and say anything that you want to say about this department of yours. I'm very sorry about that, Minister. Thank you, DC.
Thank you very much, Chair and Co-Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister. Our Deputy Minister had to attend an inter-ministerial committee. It's 9 o'clock, so he could not be with us. All the guests that have been invited by the portfolio committee here, allow me to thank the Joint Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation and Police to have deemed it fit for us to appear here today to brief the committee and also to provide an update on the work we've also been engaged in since the unfortunate incidents that occurred both at FNB in 2017 and of recent one in the Moses Mabhida Stadium. As Minister of Sport and Recreation, we are grossly concerned, just as all South Africans are, at the continuing trend of violence and unbecoming behavior at football matches. And we believe that these incidents should not be allowed to occur, as they not only pose a significant risk to both life and life of spectators, but that they are against the law. And these incidents have a great potential to tarnish the reputation as Capital South Africa has worked very hard and invested heavily post-apartheid to position ourselves as capable to host mega events. This positioning was attested also when we hosted the FIFA World Cup and when we were declared in 2012 as the best tourism destination in the world at the World Travel Awards in Doha. We therefore view this incident on a very serious note, but just to take the committee on board of what we have done so far following this incident, we have been in a process of looking into how we can tackle them so that we can get to the deeper understanding of what is happening and where we can correct and where we can tighten if it is in legislation, but also where we can work together where there are gaps. And we came to an untenable situation after we had commissioned an inquiry as the ministry, because we got to be challenged by stadium management in court, and that in itself, looking into our legislation, which is SASRIA, it made us not to have, as you were saying earlier on, teeth to take forward the matter. And as such, we looked for other alternative measures, because we deemed it necessary to remedy this anomaly. And at this point, I just want to share with the joint committees that we have since requested the president for a judicial commission. And by the time of the request for the judicial commission, it was before the Moses Mabhida incident. And at our submission, therefore, we sought to also include Moses Mabhida in the judicial commission. But in the interim, because there are also issues that we need to deal with, we have to meet both SAFA and PSL so that we get to understand. PSL submitted an interim report, which I see also before the committee, as interim, looking into the fact that there are other measures that still need to be really looked into. We have since met their leadership, and we are still therefore awaiting if they are dealing with any in-depth with depth of the matters. But SAFA, by the time we met, did not have a report, and they had not sat with PSL. Hopefully in the meeting they will also reflect on it. But also on the day, they identified gaps of where they also could not speak together. And I just wish to indicate to the joint committees that in our response to that, I have since requested and directed the Deputy Minister of Sport and Recreation to sit and convene the two, so that they can sit, because we are not only looking into the issues of those incidents, we are also looking beyond in terms of how work happens, even when it comes to responses, when we have to release players and clubs to perform for national duty. So we have since done that as a department, but on the interim we also look into the pending work of what the ministerial inquiry requires of both SAFA and PSL to provide us with this briefing on the security arrangements prior to major events or fixtures. So those sittings will assist us, and we also hope with the critical role players that are here, we also get to understand, but critical to it is to an extent of how we can bring back our teams before and ensure that we put all the mechanisms in place. And those who have to do monitoring and evaluation, they do monitoring and evaluation of whether such are able to sit and are able to prevent occurrences of this nature moving forward, whilst we are dealing with the issues of the inquiry. We believe that this the interim measures that we can agree to here, pending the inquiry, would look and assist us as also monitored by the portfolio committee to attend to this matter and to change the face that is quickly creeping in to make our sporting events to be unsafe for our people, and thereby making e-sport not to be the fun that it's supposed to present, and providing an opportunity for families to attend such events. We still continue to make South Africa that kind of a nation through sport, and we build our nation. So we are committing as the government, because we also, out of identification of these gaps, had to make a quick submission to Cabinet, and Cabinet has since approved that we quickly review both the Sports and Recreation Act and SASTRIA, so that we can make sure that the gaps get to be closed whilst we are dealing with the short-term issues of making sure no more event in our country would be subjected to the earlier incident. We are in that process, and we're calling upon all key role players to also collaborate and participate in the process, because it's going to be very short-circuited in order for us that we can have a legislation that also gives authority to the minister. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Honourable members and visitors, let me introduce our chairperson from KZN of Sports Portfolio Committee. We were intended to go and visit and see the stadium, the damage and whatever, but we didn't get the permission. And without telling the honourable members, I invited her to come to be part of this meeting. Honorable Deputy Minister, I was thinking that when the briefing of a National Commission, I will give the chairperson, oh, we have got a problem, because I was thinking that when that time comes, the Honorable Chairperson is going to chair, but if we want to chip in, I don't have any problem. Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to chip in because I don't have time to waste time. Because the Deputy President has called the meeting. I think the Deputy Minister of Sport is there now, which I'm supposed to attend now at 10 o'clock. So I wanted to make our input and overall before the National Committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We as police, we will support Sasria, because Sasria and its review process is a foundation of security issues as sports gatherings. We base ourselves as police on the principles of the national security in the Republic of South Africa, because we have learned through experience that sports gatherings are also used for terrorism. And in our strategy of anti-terrorism, we need to strengthen the sports gatherings, because that is where most of the activities against our nation could take place. So we support the review. Secondly, we are saying that the question of the growing hooliganism in South Africa in terms of soccer and other related sport activities is a national security threat that we need to deal with, because if we leave it at this point in time, it can grow. We are going to be in a problem of England and other related hooligans coming from other countries and mess up our territory. That is our standpoint in terms of national security. We are saying that they are mushrooming delivery protests that are taking place, and there are SMSs and WhatsApp that are going around mobilizing people to fight against each other and carrying weapons. And who plans that if Kaiser Chiefs is losing, therefore there must be vandalism and threat of property and human life? And this is what the portfolio committee will request we need to get into in terms of that particular question. We support, Minister, the Judicial Commission of Inquiry, and you are going to cooperate with as the police and also submit Commissioner the police inquest on the matter. Both it could be on the matter of Moses Mabhida and the FNB 2017. So that is our commitment as police. But fundamentally, DG Mweni is to start education at school level in terms of the school sport program. How do we relate the school sport program with the school safety program? Because these hooliganism tendencies, they begin at school sport program. And that is where our children are orientated, not to tolerate loss. When they lose, and then they go into fight. So we need to find a way, maybe within Sasria, on how do we integrate school sport program and school safety program. So that is our input. But we have recommendations. We have 5 recommendations that we have made as police, which I want to present to this particular meeting. We are here not to blame anyone, but to make sure that we strengthen our laws and make sure that there's safety and security on all sport gatherings. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. When you feel to go and attend other national question things, Udichi for our minister is here, commissioner and the rest, they are here. They will take care of any question that you are going to raise. Thank you that you give us this opportunity to attend whilst you have to attend other committees of cabinet. Thank you so much. Honorable Dr. Khoza.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Sport Integration and also on Safety and Security, my colleagues on the National Executive Committee of the National Soccer League, members of SAFA, Committee Secretary, ladies and gentlemen, we are present here today pursuant to your official request dated 24th of April 2018 for the Premier Soccer League, the National Soccer League.
Dr. Khoza, the chairperson, please introduce your colleagues.
We are present here today to your official request dated 24th of April 2018 for the Premier Soccer League to brief the Honorable Committee on aspects relating to, and I quote from your invitation, the briefing quote, the violence and chaotic, you know, since witnessed at Muslim Al-Fida Stadium on Saturday 21st April 2018. Before I commence with our briefing, may I take this opportunity to introduce, you know, to you the executive committee members of the National Soccer League, Keza Mutaung, Mr. David Diera, Mr. Kombolani Kwango, Ms. Matoma Ndala, who is also acting, you know, CEO, Dr. Rejoice Melani, Mr. Jose Ferreira, and Mr. Cindy Matthews. I would also like to introduce Mr. Michael Murphy.
The enrollment members, they want them that they must show the end before they interrupt you.
Mr. Keza Mutaung, Mr. David Kidiela, Mr. Kumbulani Kwango, Ms. Matoma Ndala, Dr. Rejoice Melani, Mr. Jose Ferreira, Mr. Cindy Matthews. I would also like to introduce Mr. Michael Murphy, our legal counsel, and Mr. Molalo Razinani, our company secretary. Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, let me categorically state right up front that the Executive Committee of the National Soccer League, like you and your committee, were and remain shocked, extremely disappointed and concerned regarding the unacceptable events at Muslim Al-Fida Stadium. We also condemn in the strongest terms the tarnishing of our country's national and sporting image by the criminals who perpetrated, you know, this unspeakable death on the 21st of April 2018. We also like to place on record that the league takes very seriously those specific legislation responsibilities placed upon us to play its role regarding the ensuring of safety of the literally millions of law-abiding, widely ticket-holding members of the public, players, officials, mesh support, staff who annually attend league-sanctioned professional football matches across our country. We welcome and appreciate the steps your committee has initiated in respect of this incident, and in particular, the insightful inquiries you've raised in your official request addressed to us in connection with the incident. In this regard, we confirm to you that our league will do everything possible within its power to assist you and your honorable committee and our government to address the increasing trends, you know, in the recent times of violent and chaotic acts of criminality at local professional football matches. Furthermore, the league, by executive committee, is absolutely committed to assist and cooperate with you in your portfolio committee in every possible way, and to take all reasonable steps on a collaborative basis in consultation with all key stakeholders to deal with and sterilize this very real challenge facing our country and its most popular sport. Our commitment to this process is evidenced by the fact that even prior to the shocking event at Motsi Mapi on the 21st of April 2018, the League have already recognized the increasing risk of criminality and public violence at professional football matches. At the first of a planned series of joint meetings with the Honorable Minister of Sport and Recreation South Africa and the Minister of Safety and Security for Safety and Security in Johannesburg during March 2018. As you and your Honorable Committee have been no doubt, you know, learned in the interim, we attended a similar briefing session to the one requested by you today in Johannesburg on the 26th of April 2018, with a delegation headed by our Minister of Sport and Recreation, South Africa, and our Minister Thomas Ekasa, MP. At that meeting, we presented a documented interim report on the Moses Mabhida incident to the Honorable Minister. As communicated to the Honorable Minister at that meeting, and is the case presently, the League is still, you know, involved in fully investigating and collecting the facts as opposed to reported statements regarding the incident. As the Honorable Committee is also aware, the Sport and Recreational Act 2010, Act No. 2 of 2010 South Rea, places a collective responsibility on a number of key safety and security stakeholders, including the South African Police, through a sub-chaired event safety and security training committee for the securing of subs, you know, categorized in, you know, medium and high risk football matches, such as the match at Moses Mabhida Stadium on the 21st of April 2018. As such, we are still involved in auditing and validation process in respect of the contingency and the operational planning, South Rea compliance documentation, and match day deliverables, furnished to us by certain of these stakeholders. This is in order that we may finalize our investigation into the incident and be placed in an informed position to contribute fully and meaningfully to processes convened by our government to fully identify and bring to an end the unacceptable increase in serious violence and criminality at high attendance football matches involving the more popular professional football clubs. Proposed, you know, official inquiry by the Minister. The League has learned, you know, of the proposed calling by the Honourable Minister.
Honourable
Chair, with respect to the Chair, and I understand Dr. Kroza is talking to himself. We don't have a presentation here, firstly, because what we have is just attachment, and those attachments are not telling us exactly what he's saying. For an example, the overview that we have, we don't have a presentation. And what, that was one of the requirements that must have a presentation, exactly.
And to Secretary, our emails, we did have that. So I'm planning to check whether can they make copies to be circulated. Yes, I'm suspecting because she was not having your emails, our apology. Can you come to the
copies, or they didn't send us to the police. I don't know. disruption.
There was an initial report, but seemingly he summarized that presentation. Now that presentation, it is here, they didn't circulate. With due respect, honorable members, thank you for that. We are apologizing, honorable members.
May I proceed? Why can't they send to our secretary so that they can pray for us? Because how can we ask questions? Because he's just running for himself.
I'm saying, honorable members, my apology that now this copy is being circulated, but the initial presentation, it was in our emails, and my chairperson, co-chairperson, is confirming that it's only the one that is talking to that I'm apologizing about that, the one that now they are circulating it. We're supposed to open our emails because it was emailed, the detailed report. Honorable Song?
Chair, we did open our emails. There's no, the report that we have, it's just an overview, Chair. There's no detailed report that is reading, Dr. Kosa. And with respect, Chair, we're supposed to prepare ourselves. I think the subs did that. There's a presentation that we have, and we're prepared. But for this is an overview that we've opened our email. And Chair, I call order because you cannot speak on behalf of PSL. The PSL must tell us why didn't they send the presentation advance.
I'm in order. I was talking about what I received in my email, and I'm in order that the one that is just circulated, we didn't all not have it. I must correct you. I'm just in order. Dr. Kosa.
Should I start to look at again? The proposed official inquiry, the legal length of the proposed calling by the Honorable Minister or for the integration of the official inquiry, further intent on that, wishing that the proposed previous minister wish to call in respect of the tragic incident, which also involved breaches of public order and criminal violation, which.
Honorable,
thank you, Chair. With your respect, may we request Dr. Kosa to indicate which page and paragraph is reading. We spend a lot of time trying to fiddle and find out.
Page 4.
Page 4. Okay, go. Thank you.
Previous Honorable Minister wished, you know, to call in respect of the tragic incident, which also involved breaches of public, you know, order, and criminality which now occurred at our national stadium and beyond the 29th of July. With respectfully, you know,
so honorable members, if we are trying to get something, don't be allowed.
State that the National Soccer League supports the proposed calling of such an inquiry. The league also respectfully calls on the honorable committee, if it's not, you know, already done so already, to allow the minister to convene such an inquiry, which we propose that it will be, you know, a committee of inquiry, but also with a preliminary, you know, intervention measures that might assist in making sure that we deal with the issues that can be resolved as a matter of agency. The with a respectful view, in line with your current initiatives and steps in respect of also a bit of Stadium incident, and will prevent duplication of effort in the legislative and administrative arm of our government responsible for sport and safety in South Africa. This is particularly in view of the fact that it is our understanding that all key South Africa PSP stakeholders, including those constitutionally and legislatively responsible for the provision of sufficient and necessary safety and security, resourcing, deployment and measures, adequate policing and prevention of crime, and the maintenance of public order. A professional football matches would be requested, to participate in the proposed inquiry. On the lessons learned, the National Soccer League, position on the increasing trend of public violence and criminality at professional football is quite, simple. There needs to be a separation of criminals from the millions of football loving dogs abiding members of public who annually attend professional football matches across the country. Here, co-chair, we want to submit that until such time in South Africa, we criminalize invasion into the pitch of our supporters. We want to try to identify the genesis of this criminality. We will assist the great deal that the responsibility must be placed on the supporters themselves, that we must take responsibility for that action which we cannot control. The league is not legislatively empowered or resource to execute this, alone. Sadly, it appears that the elevated levels of criminality and lawful and violence within our society is increasingly manifesting itself at a professional football matches. It will require a concerted and sustained multi-stakeholder effort involving government, state security services, all key South Korea ESP stakeholders, including the sub-emergency and essential services, national controlling bodies, event organizers, senior managers, owners, senior management, and the private security industry to bring an end to this unacceptable trend. Finger pointing exercise is also, in our respectful view, not remedy the challenges faced. From the league's perspective, we'll adopt a solution oriented approach in respect of our participation in government convening processes, aiming at remedying the challenges faced. Historical subsidiary regulatory and compliance gaps, where it is respectfully submitted, also have to be addressed as part of such processes. Before I finish, co-chairperson, I want to indicate that in terms of the subsidiary compliance, the PSL, applied for the risk categorization of this match immediately after the quarterfinal stage of the competition, that is the Netland Cup. The SAPS National Office categorized the match as a medium risk event per Section 63B of the SAPS on the 10th of April 2018. By the way, submitted our application on the 4th of April. Lieutenant Kenneth Sigamani, Devon Central, was appointed as an authorized member and also was the ESSPC chair and board commander. Mutsuma Bida Stadium, safety certification Section 8. The annual existing stadium safety security is issued by Chewin Municipality on the 27th of April 2018. Public liability insurance, PSL had an annual cover of 500 million with Stanford Hutchinson Admiral EK in place, valid to the 31st of July 2018. PSL made arrangements for 551 cyber security and safety squads to be deployed at the match. The PSL is in the process of verifying and validating the planning match date deployments and serial compliance aspects. International UK government green guide and South African's norm for security officers deployment ratio is 1:100 for high risk matches. In the absence of self-sustainable regulations, PSL has set a more stringent deployment ratio of 1:85 medium risk matches. In its safety and security manual. Based on the 26,149 spectators attended for the match, the security officer to the spectator deployment ratio for this sub-medium risk categorization match was 1:46, double what has been required at this point in time. Finally, thank you also for your ongoing interest in the affairs of the league and the matters of public safety at local provincial football matches, and I make myself available to answer any questions you may have in respect of our submissions to you. I apologize if there were omissions on the part of circulating the full version of the presentation, but you are not intended to do any disadvantages. I thought the teaser that we submitted in advance in the education you will get up with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, Dr. Ivan Khoza. I'm suspecting we didn't say that SAFA must present, come with the presentation. Because if you still remember in the committee, we were saying that we need not to call them, but consulting with the minister, I must declare, she said they must come in order that they know and maybe if they want to chip in, that's why they are not having presentation, and thank to the minister by that advice. I'm suspecting that, let me give my co-chair that we must have the second presentation in order that when we're discussing, we must, anyone must engage in both of them, because I don't think we have enough time, and we are welcome our co-chairperson from the legislature when you want to interact with the presentation. I'm suspecting you are doing work there, you will be sharing with us. When you want to contribute, you must do that. Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members, also Honorable Minister of Sport, and all otherwise, thank you very much. Maybe just in terms of the Portfolio Committee on Police, there's two institutions that we are responsible for oversight that's here today. The one is the South African Police Service. They've submitted their presentation, and of course then the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, they're also here, because they are responsible of overseeing the private security industry. They also submitted submission, and then it's also a document from the research of the Portfolio Committee on the incident with 15 draft questions for members to take note of, from. We're going to start by the introduction of the delegation. We'll ask the National Commissioner, General Sitolo, to introduce the delegation. Thank you, General Sitolo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Please, Honourable Member.
I understand that we are going on with the police, but then I would like the lady over there to apologize for forcing us that this is what our presenter was presenting. Because this is not what he's been presenting. And she insisted that this is the paper he is presenting. It is not correct. That's why I asked the lady over here to come over to you to ask if this is the correct thing. And you kept on insisting that this is the correct paper. Unless it, myself and her are unable, were unable to locate where the speaker was present for. My apologies, Reba.
Thank you very much, Ms. Can you please proceed? We'll ask the National Commissioner to introduce his delegation. Thank you, General.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Co-Chair, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Member. Chairperson, our delegation is as follows, and follow the police culture in showing up themselves. The first one is the Lieutenant General Fahmy, the Deputy National Commissioner for Management Advisor. The second one is the Lieutenant General Mawela, Operation and Response.
Good morning.
The third one, Lieutenant General P.J. Cobbs, National Head of Crime Intelligence. the Divisional Commissioner. The next one is Major General P.P. Ramatswere, Crime Detection. The next one is Major General B.P. Langa, Acting Provincial Commissioner, KZN. The next one is Major General N. Singh, Executive Office Manager in my office. The next one, Major General Mkwanazi, Component Head, Public Order Policing. The next one is Brigadier V. Naidu, Spokesperson, Office of the National Commissioner. The last one is Brigadier L.S. Malasela, Section Head, Executive Secretariat, Office of the National Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Sitore. Let's go straight to the presentation. You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. With your permission, our presentation will be led by Major General N. Singh. I will come in later at the end of the strategic session. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Deputy Chair, Honorable Members of both the Portfolio Committees, Honorable Minister, all protocol observed, a very good morning to you. I'm going to go through this presentation quickly. Part of the background, the presentation itself talks of the background, the operational planning, the execution of the operational planning on the day of the event, the incident report, case management, and obviously with some of our recommendations. In respect of the background, in line with SASRIA, the PSL submitted an application for categorization of the NetBank Cup semifinals between Kaizer Chiefs and Free State Stars. The event was scheduled for the 21st of April 2018. On the 9th of April 2018, the application was forwarded to the SAPS KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Office for risk recommendation. The response indicated that the event was assessed as being a medium risk event. According to the content of the application from the PSL, there were no history of crowd clashing incidents or violence by or between spectators or participating teams at the venue itself. No other factors were provided that the SAPS should have taken into account. Lieutenant Colonel Sigamani, stationed at Durban Central Police Station, was the appointed authorized member. The categorization certificate was relayed to PSL and the SAPS KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Office. The operational planning part of it, Safety and Security Planning Committee was established. An initial meeting was held at the Moses Mabhida Stadium on the 17th of April, chaired by Captain Ranu, stationed at Durban Central Police Station. Among the issues discussed were the expected attendance of plus minus 30,000 individuals in accordance with the ticket sales. Other issues discussed were access accreditation, the activation of the box, a new operational center, the application of safety and security operational concepts, including the deployment of personnel. As the chief representatives reported that their supporters were dissatisfied with the coach, stadium management requested support from the SAPS. In addition, a threat assessment report was submitted by the SAPS Crime Intelligence, and the following threats were identified. The pitch invasion, indicated as a possibility, the sales of illegal parking tickets, traffic congestion, increased crime in the vicinity of the stadium. An operational plan was compiled and approved by the overall commander, Colonel Naidu. Execution of the operational planning on the day of the event. The VOC was activated at 1600 hours. The VOC meeting convened at 1630, chaired by Lieutenant Colonel Sigamani, and the following deployments were confirmed. Your first four members, there were 33 members deployed whose roles and responsibilities included the following: enhancing visibility in the parking areas, Mgeni Road, Masabala, Yengwa, that's NMR Avenue, Global Road, Isaya, Shangase, that's Walter Road, Sandila Tulsi, Argyle, and OR Tambo, Snellgrave. 9 members were deployed in the inner perimeter and 10 to the north turnstile to assist with the ease of congestion. Crime intelligence members, there were 10 deployed for intelligence gathering in and around the stadium. Our POP and SAPS, POP and Metro, there were 20 deployed for crowd management
activities in the inner pitch and outer perimeter of the stadium. Metro Police, there were 26 deployed for road closures and traffic management. And in Jingela Security, there were 100 security personnel deployed for outer perimeter fencing. That's the first pressure point. Your spectator channeling, your observe attendees at stands, the upper, lower, and the other stands. Static guard at the tunnel, field of play, and emergency gates. The kind of chief security were 4 for static guard at the tunnel and the change room. And Lehman Security, there were 301 deployed to assist in ensuring free traffic zone and road closure, spectator channeling, check spectator tickets and credentials at the entrance, and static guard at the parking areas and the drop-off zones. The Augusta Seasway Security, there were 48 deployed for static guard at the main gate, egress tunnel, presidential suite, robots, and Isai and Changate Road. In Gwilela Security, there was 98 for static guard and VIP entrance. Perfect Action Security had 25 deployed for static guard at the parking area. PSL Security, there was 1, which was deployed at the block. Yoitikwedi Security, there were 3 for general duties. Disaster Management, 3. And Afro Medical Services, 25 to attend to medical-related incidents. So there was a total deployment of 697. The execution of the operational planning on the day of the event, the stadium gates opened at 1700 hours, the game commenced at 2015, a total attendance of 26,185. 5 spectators were removed from the stadium after a fight broke out, 6 spectators were removed from the stadium for accessing suites without accreditation, the turnstiles were overcrowded due to deviation, 18 turnstiles were open instead of 40. Security personnel were deployed to the pitch to assist by forming a human security barrier. In terms of the incident itself, a few minutes before the end of the game, Kaiser Chiefs supporters started throwing objects towards the technical team area. Pop and baseball personnel were immediately redeployed to line up behind the technical team to protect players and officials. Private security personnel were also redeployed to form a human barrier around the pitch. The following events transpired after the game ended. Several spectators breached an area of the pitch and confronted security on the pitch. Objects were thrown onto the pitch and supporters charged towards technical staff and players and invaded the pitch. POP, baseball and security personnel encircled the players, match officials and technical staff to ensure the safe passage into the changing rooms. An armored vehicle was brought into the pitch and blocked off the entrance to the change rooms to protect those inside. Several clashes erupted between spectators and deployed SAPS members and personnel. Sporadic fires were also lit within the stadium. Stun grenades and smoke had to be used to disperse the crowd. The following injuries were reported. A total of 21, one of our SAPS members, one Metro Police member, 4 private security personnel, and 13 spectators. Damages that were reported were to TV cameras and speakers, stadium chairs with set alight, windows in certain suites were broken. The exact extent of the damage and value involved is still being determined by the stadium management, PSL. In respect of case management, there were 4 suspects that were arrested for public violence as per Durban CAS 93404-2018. Accused 1, Salami Jojisa, arrested on the day. 3 suspects were arrested during the course of the weekend. Accused 2, Mr. Mamela, John Kumalo, and Mr. Madiba. All suspects appeared in the magistrate's court and were granted bail of 1,000 and paid for demand to the 25th of this month. A multidisciplinary task team comprising of the provincial and cluster detectives, crime intelligence, the private security industry, regulating authority, CIRA, and senior public protector from the Durban Magistrate Court has been established and investigations are in progress. 13 images of suspects received from SuperSpot and are currently being sought. In terms of the recommendations, which forms part of our implementation plan, the conducting of work sessions with all role players on the interpretation of the Sastria Act. Internally, SAP has members at provincial office to ensure compliance in terms of CEF Sastria. Moses Mabhida Stadium management to upgrade pitch protection. The emphasis on the need of deployment of properly trained private security personnel and remedial consequent management will be taken against relevant officials in KZN when non-compliance of the Act is determined. Honourable Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gerald. General Secretary, do you talk to the Act?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Just to add beyond the recommendations, what we're actually trying to put forward is that this is a subject of multidisciplinary collaboration, where now as subs in the implementation, we recommend that we extend it to bring in all the other role players. And further to that, this particular legislation was promulgated before 2010 and it responded well in 2010. But between 2010 and now, there has been a drastic change of modus operandi, which then requires the review of the Act. And our then also recommendation as well to the Minister, we're also joining that part to conduct a feasibility analysis on this particular Act in a multidisciplinary collaborative way, so that we can look at areas of reviewing it as well as maybe just working together. From the subs, we've also looked into any deviations from back to basics, and we'll be getting our report by this particular, that is Friday. And we open to working together with all the relevant parties so that we improve that the situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. We will then ask the Director of CIRA, Mr. Chauke, to introduce his delegation.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Honourable Committee. Chairperson, I'm with Mr. Stefan Badenos, who is our acting Director of the Group. He will be giving us an overview of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Badenos. You can continue with the presentation. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think I'll have to move to just set up, if you will allow me.
Chairpersons, honourable members, Minister. My presentation is going to cover a couple of things. It's basically the objects of regulating the private security in the event environment. I'm going to highlight some requirements in terms of the CIRA legislation and also deal with a bit of the training standards for the event security officer and then CIRA subs and stadium management interaction when it comes to private security involvement. In the event environment. Now, obviously from objects of regulating the security service providers in terms of the CIRA legislation, it's generally to ensure that the private security industry that being contracted to render security services act in the public interest during the event, ensure that they're trustworthy and professional, and ultimately provide the fullest protection to the persons that will be attending the premises for sporting, recreational, entertainment purposes, and obviously also to protect the interests of the stadium owners, the event organizers, and the public in general, and also to respect, obviously, the rights of members of the public. In terms of that, there is a code of conduct that all registered security service providers need to comply with that provides, obviously, for the rights of the public when they are confronted by the private security industry. Now, in terms of our legislation and our Act itself, the CIRA Act, it provides that everyone that's involved in providing a service aimed at ensuring order and safety in the premises used for sporting, recreational, entertainment, or similar purpose fall under the definition of a security service provider, which will then require registration with CIRA. Now, there's a number of categories in terms of the CIRA Act that needs to register with us. In an event environment, that will include your guarding sector and your close protection officers at times are also involved. We also have a category, your response security, where private security companies will employ a particular group of individuals that are required to respond to certain incidents. And then your event security. Now, in terms of the CIRA Act, it's the security officers, stewards, and marshals. We're familiar with the SASRIA and the definition of stewards and marshals, but in terms of our legislation, we do find that these stewards or marshals are there to ensure a safe and secure event, and therefore they will fall within the definition of a security service providers. And then you do have the category of your control room operators, especially CCTV, and then everyone involved in installation, servicing, repair of security equipment at events. And in a stadium environment, it's usually your CCTV, your access control, bomb detection, metal detection, X-ray inspection. All those categories are required to be legally registered with us, and that includes your consultants and then your car guard sector. Now, as far as the training requirement is concerned for security service providers, it provides, in terms of the CIRA legislation, a specific curriculum for the event security officers, and that includes anyone involved in doing a bodily or physical search at the point of entry, also your security reaction team, as I mentioned before, and then your CPOs and handling dogs at a special event, and then anyone who forms part of a field control or crowd control team at the special event must complete what we call a special events training curriculum. In a nutshell, what that curriculum entails is obviously the security officers need to be trained in the normal guarding courses or the grade training, but the special event curriculum then includes public relations, which is a very, very much core in a special events environment. Because the security officers are not necessarily in the event environment doing security-related work. They are very much involved in public relations and trying to deal with conflict situations, which we generally refer to as verbal judo, without the confrontation approach. They're also trained in a model dealing with bombs, explosives, and firearms, identifying it, including firefighting, prevention, and protection. And that is really the curriculum deals with the link up with the JOC in that particular environment. Two radio communication legal aspects, because there are states also citizens arrest made by the security service providers, and then very importantly, occupational health and safety and first aid. And in an event environment, especially in the stadium, is obviously the link up with the BOC and ensure that necessary treatment is given. Then access control and then search procedures and techniques. These are the training curriculums that are specifically relevant to the event security officer. Now, in terms of CIRA subs and stadium management interaction, generally, you know, our legislation first of all require everyone involved in the security at a special event to be legally registered. And then it places obligations in terms of Section 383G on the owners or the event organizers to ensure that they only use and contract with legally registered security businesses and security officers. Section 16.3 obviously of SASRIA also provides for, in the case of medium high risk events, that the security business and security officer details are made known to CIRA in order for us to do a verification prior to the event that the business is in fact legitimate and the security officers are legally registered and trained. So we do provide that information to the South African Police Service as well as stadium management during the planning committees. Other compliance issues obviously also highlighted there. And in most cases, you know, what we do is we provide a letter of good standing or certificate of good standing which highlights the CIRA obligations, CIRA registration, training status, and also the details of directors, etc. We also oversee compliance at events, not at all events. There are a high number of events taking place across the country, but we do, you know, at times do inspections and investigations prior and during the event. From a strategy perspective, obviously, conducting inspections during the event to verify compliance is not ideal, because it's a bit counterproductive to be there and determine or find that security officers are not legally registered in front, because the event is actually already taking place. A very important thing for us, and which we also advocate to stadium management and South African Police Service, is that the security officers must carry their SIRA ID cards at all times during the event to demonstrate their level of registration as well as their level of training. We've had some communication and notices issued to SAFA, SARU, Cricket South Africa, just to highlight the obligation in terms of our legislation to sensitise the major sports codes as far as the event security is concerned and the obligations of the private security industry. During 2016, we also conducted a research paper on the event sector and made some recommendations, which I'll highlight a little bit in terms of the improved interaction and compliance. I think, you know, first of all, you know, SIRA's involvement or participation in the ESSPCs are not always taking place. We're not always invited. So I think there can definitely be improvement in that manner in our involvement at the regional planning stage, which includes obviously then the compliance verification of the business security office prior to the event, and where we can then issue a letter of good standing for the event organizers. I think generally there is a plan, or let me say a timing challenge when it comes to the event requirements as far as SASRIA is concerned. For instance, in a high-risk event, the SASRIA legislation highlights that the ESSP or the planning committee must notify SIRA 60 days prior to the event taking place on who's the actual security that's going to be deployed. But I think in practice that really happens, that these applications to classify the event, is done 60 days prior to the event actually taking place. One of the things that we've done for some stadiums in South Africa, and I think it's very core, is to develop an accreditation system for both person security officers prior to the event. What we found in certain stadiums is that at the day of the deployment, the security officer that was screened prior to the event is not necessarily security officer that arrives for the event. And the way that's a particular challenge, because then we find security officers that are not adequately trained in the special events curriculum. So what we've done at certain stadiums, we've developed an accreditation system where security officers are accredited on a huge scale by the stadium management, and only those that's been accredited on their systems that's been verified by SIRA as registered and adequately trained is then allowed to be used. And I think that is something that we need to look at doing for all stadiums going forward. Generally, cooperation with security and business in respect of deployment, as I mentioned, one of the challenges that we do have is, although we do the screening of the security business and security officers, we do find that at the day of the event, the security officers that we screen are not necessarily the ones that are there. And I think, obviously, one of the challenges that our focus is at the sport codes, and especially, your bigger sport codes like soccer and rugby and cricket. But, you know, there is obviously an obligation in terms of the SIRA legislation for all events, in South Africa, that where private security is going to be used, that they need to comply. One of the challenges as well that we are finding in terms of, especially when it comes to non-compliance by the private security businesses, but also stadium owners and stadium management or event organizers, is the cost issue. Usually we do find non-compliance in terms of the SIRA legislation is driven by profit maximization, where there is labor obligations in terms of labor law for the cost of a security officer that's being deployed at particular events, so they do try to circumvent the cost aspect by changing the job title of the individual and calling them something else, and that they are not security officers. Like, for instance, this concept of the stewards, sometimes the concept of the marshals, sometimes they call them something else in order to avoid calling them security officers, which then results in increased cost for the stadium owners as far as the payment of the security officers are concerned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bartels. Mr. Chalky, if you have something to add.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to also add that maybe we take this opportunity to condemn the attack of security officers during sporting events because they are there to protect members of the public. As we have already said, Chairperson, that our role is merely to ensure that there is proper oversight over the conduct of private security industry. We are confirming that we are also investigating the incident, in this particular incident, at Moses Mabhida, and I must say that we are also working with the other agencies, SAPS, and everyone that is involved. Our investigations are focused on the deployment of that day, as well as the compliance, as well as the training of security officers. So we hope that we will cooperate with everyone later on when the proper public investigation takes place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chowkey. At this stage, I'm going to give over again to my co-chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, the leaders of police, to you, General. Now, honorable members, I'm suspect. This is the time for discussion. In our discussions, as the presentations are presented, let's identify the gaps, let's propose in order that we must have a way forward. I would love that we must do that, but anything that you want to ask, but at the end, let's propose the way forward on this presentation. In some presentation, they've already identified the gaps and the problems and the solutions. Honorable Minister, at 12, she's asking to be released. And honorable members, can I break the protocol? Because all of us and the department, these presentations are the first and foremost when we're together. Can I ask that Minister, is she wanting to comment on the presentations? Because when we discuss, she's not going to be here, or maybe is she leaving UDG on behalf of herself? I wanted not to close the door for our minister because he's going to attend another commitment.
Just on that point, sir.
Yes.
Sir, I have to make this statement. The Deputy Minister of Police was here. He found it necessary to leave us. Are you telling us that the Minister of Sport is also going to leave us and deem oversight on the political heads of the two departments? Where does that leave South Africans after such a tragedy? Thank you.
I'm saying, honorable member, the minister is saying that at 12. It's not yet 12 now. So that's why I'm asking the permission that if 12 comes, honorable Malik.
Thanks, Chair.
Are you responding on what you, honorable, is asking, or are we in our discussion? I wanted to hear from the office of the minister. What do you want to say?
No, Chairperson, the comments by Honorable Zidane have reminded me of the comments that were made by the Deputy Minister of Police. I don't think it was correct for him to demand to speak because staying longer here was a waste of time, according to him. So I think we did not take that thing.
Can you put your view correctly? He didn't say waste of time. So it's your words, it's not
he said he wants to speak because he doesn't have time. He doesn't want to waste time. You can if it is recorded, you can go and check. That is what he said. But I think
question to listen us. What I was sharing, we have the right to hear. The deputy minister said, because he's going to go for another meeting, it doesn't waste time not to contribute. Let me give him chance. So I don't know whether that interpretation to you was wasting time to listen to us, because even in his contribution, he put it clear that all is not well. So, honourable members, maybe we are taking this time now that this 12, can I hear from the department, when I give you the chance to talk, you will be raising the concerns of the deputy minister and the minister, because now they are not yet contributing on the issue. You must chip in and put your input on that. I'm trying to handle the meeting that you must not go outside the parameter of our questions. You must indicate and say your feeling about the leaving of deputy minister. And minister, when I open, I've told you that he's going to a sub-committee, which is in the ministerial position of SF. The minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think we will be around to capture the essence of the deliberations, because the invited guests are here, they have made their presentation, and we'll input as a member. Thank you.
Honourable members, with your respect, this is your time to ask questions and discuss. Honourable Mlongo, Honourable Bergman, Honourable Mudeka, welcome back to the committee. Honourable Malika, Honourable Chayim, Honourable Fintan, Honourable supposed to give me the name of our colleagues. Honourable Musi, Honourable Bev, Honourable Rahom, on that order, honourable members, thank you so much. Your hand is up, Honourable Jefferson. Okay. Okay, thank you, Honourable Jefferson.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the presentation, but I want to state clearly that PSL's presentation, you made us discuss for us to do an oversight work on your presentation. Honest enough, I didn't get exactly what is it all about, PSL. It was not clear, your presentation, and you have only synopsis, and which is confusing, but I have direct questions because this is all in the public domain, we know exactly what happened. Chair, I think all sectors stated clearly that they did not adhere to SACSEAL. It is clear that your presentation clearly stated that. And this is not a first mesh that we had. And the direct question to PSL, you had your internal investigation regarding pilots and chiefs saga, which happened in 2017. Can you tell us more about that? What were the recommendations? Because you had internal investigation. Now, what are the challenges to PSL? On your presentation, you clearly stated that practically it's impossible for you to implement SACSEAL. What are the challenges? Tell us exactly what are the challenges on the act. Did PSL fail to adhere to FIFA and SAFA guidelines, yes or no? if no, why this tragedy happened. So I wanted to find out, because there's a capacity of 55,000 at Mount Peter Stadium, and there were plus minus 26 attendees on the day, according to the presentation. And only 697 officials or POs were present. Let's say on that day there were 55. How many officials are required to monitor the event? There were 26, we only had 697, 26,000. Now the capacity is 55. Now what are your guidelines to monitor an event? How many officials per 20 or per 100? I need a clear understanding exactly. Because there was a failure of visibility of officials or of men in blue or of security. It was not, they were not visible. It is clearly there was a failure. Now I needed to know the stats exactly. Out of 55,000, if it's fully capacitated, how many officials you have? If it's at present, it was 26, but you only had 670-something. So let me count the number. I don't want to misquote it again. 697 as per your presentation. But SAFA went all out in the media to say officials or security officers were 55. What exactly is the number? It was 550 according to PSL. The sub says 697. What exactly is the number of officials on that day? Now, I wanted to find out, and I'm not exactly undermining the colonel. Did you attend all meetings, colonel? Is he here? I think he's one of the delegates. Who you chair? There was a planning meeting. Did the assign or the deployee in charge attend all plenary meetings? Did security, private security team attend all plenary meetings? I wanted to find out. You are saying that there was a medium, you call it medium risk, that you were aware of before the game. What mechanism or what strategy did you come up with? Because you knew that Chiefs fans were not happy regarding the coach. You knew. What mechanism do you come in place with, or a plan of action, so to say, on that day? I think, Chair, another issue that I wanted, crowd control was poorly done. And I'm not, your presentation points finger. Sub's presentation clearly states that they were not properly trained. One of the recommendations in future. Why now? I think you misquoted. 2010, there were recommendations of the tragedy of Isoka in 2010, FN, Ellis Park. But it was not even implemented. Why now this recommendation? Why after, you know, I'm waiting to hear, maybe Chair, I'll wait for the second bite. Because I wanted to find out, what are the recommendations from PSL, firstly, that were done internally? Because, yes, according to the minister, we wanted to have an inquiry, the first inquiry for FNP. Now it was shut down when it's stadium management today, I'm told. But PSL didn't want to come on board. What was the reason for PSL not to come on board? And Chair, I request to hold the questions for now, and I'll come with the second bite.
Thanks, Chair. If I remember correctly, if I'm not mistaken, on the PSL side, the home team is required to, is also there's a responsibility on the home team in terms of security. Now, if Kaiser Chiefs, of course, would be that home team, and in the statement I suggested that maybe Kaiser Chiefs should also be attending this very same meeting. I would have been interested to know what, knowing the threats, and especially the threats against the coach, what they would have done more to prevent what took place. You know, the image for me, which I think says it best, is this Facebook image of the crowd storming the fence. Now, the fence is holding the crowd back, and yet there's still only three security guards. Now, I can take that on the day it might be three security guards that weren't properly, you know, properly accredited, But it goes on for quite a while, and you see this storming of the fence and storming of the fence, and there's still no reaction. Now, this is obviously before the armored vehicle got onto the pitch. But if the police or so, you know, on paper it seemed that they understood everything that was going to take place. They understood the threats. They were well prepared. On paper it looked like we had enough staff. On paper it looked like we understood every threat and eventuality. But then you look at the response times, and that doesn't correlate with what we've got on paper. So I'm back to this image of the pushing of the fence and watching these poor three or four security guards, you know, seeing these faces coming at them, and it's just this little fence protecting them, and you still don't see that police reaction. So I'm interested specifically to find out what was the response time at that identification of the pushing of that fence in that section. How long did it take for police to respond to that specific area? I must say, I do commend the police on that swift arrest of the one suspect kicking the head of the security guard twice. But I also see, I note that there's a turnaround in PSL's suggestion on this commission of inquiry, and I'd like to understand, I know it's been explained in a bit of a turnaround, but why are we supporting this commission over the last commission, and why did we withdraw that commission? You know, court doesn't scare us. You've got the power to call a commission. And the minister is now, unfortunately, well, I see the sports minister here. I'd like to understand had we kept the commission, had this commission been on the forefront, I wonder if such a tragedy would have taken place. So I'd like to know what was this turnaround, the change of heart that made us first withdraw this commission, and why the change of heart from PSL all of a sudden to support such a commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also appreciate for you for welcoming me. The labor committee have stolen me from you for some time due to those bills. And Chairperson, my questions are like this. How many actual supporters were in the stadium against the 30,000 capacity stated in the presentation by the police? And again, on the day, Chairperson, the supporters invaded the pitch against the barrier of security. What went wrong? How did they pass through the barrier? How did they pass through the shield? Another question would be, 30,000 supporters in the stadium, I assume they were 30,000, against the ratio of this 697 security personnel. Is it enough in terms of security regulations and in terms of planning prior the event? Or was it enough, that 697? Although PSL is saying a certain number of security, but let's take it from the police, 697. Is it enough against 30,000? And if not, why did you allow it to happen? If it is, then what went wrong? Chairperson, from this 697 personnel, security personnel, there is about 14 divisions or companies which these people are reporting to. They are not reporting and controlled by one unit where you can say the supervision is common and
the directive is one. They are voting from to different. About 14. I'm saying 14 because they are all 15, but I don't include medical service. So it is about 14 companies, if I can call it, that these people are reporting to. Is that not also opening a room for confusion that can lead to something like this? Because really, if we are about to manage one event, but we there are many groups reporting to many companies, but the common purpose is to make sure there is security and safety in the stadium. To me, it can end up causing that confusion, because even the issue of accountability, it becomes loose and broad, because now, for now at this stage, which security company can we say you are now accountable? Come, account to what happened. This one reported, no, this one didn't follow, this one didn't comply. Then you will end up each one pointing fingers to each one. I don't know, the security experts will correct me. That's my thinking as a politician or as a human being, however. My last question, Chairperson, is the issue of, we hear there is about four supporters arrested, went to court and all that. Are we not dealing with the symptom or the end result of the wrongdoing? Where is the cause? From management side, security management side, who is arrested? Who is arrested already? Because these people we have arrested already, they went through you, they passed you to get to the beach. Because if a goal is caught, there is defense there to account. How did this driver pass through you? We are not going to punish only the goalkeeper. How did it pass you as a defense? So even here we are asking from planning, implementation, management. Where is management accountability? Which one of the security personnel management is arrested as a result? We cannot only deal with the outcome without going back to the root cause, because the cause of the whole thing is planning and also breaching of Caesarea. So, and I don't think the supporter has done that. The supporter got emotional and went through where there's no security. Obviously, we can run to the beach, there's no security. Then who was supposed to put security there to the barrier? Did the supporter carry AK-47 and pass so that they can pass there? No. So, management accountability. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Monteka. Another one, Monteka.
Thanks, Chairperson, again. I think, let me also start by welcoming the presentation. And, Chairperson, I think it is proper for me to assure our visitors today that we have not invited them to conduct an inquiry. We invited them so that we share ideas, because this is becoming a crisis. It happened some years ago, it happened in 2017 at FNB, it also has happened in Moses Mabhida. We know their concerns. We don't want to be seen as pointing fingers, because we know that PSL cannot be happy with what is happening as well as the subs. But we want to find out as to whether you are doing enough to ensure that this comes to an end. And if there are challenges, how can we as government assist towards ensuring that it comes to an end? Just two questions though, Chairperson. Is to check from PSN, because you have got these beautiful stadiums in South Africa, but I need to check if you have a standardized safety standard, if I may call it that way, to prevent spectators from freely entering the stadiums. The reason I'm asking this question, Chairperson, is because you will find that at FNB, maybe it's not easy for spectators to just walk into the pitch, but you go elsewhere, it becomes so easy. So that is why I'm asking if there are no standards to say all the stadiums should be meeting this kind of a standard in order to prevent access for the spectators to enter the pitches. And the second one and the last one, Chairperson, I don't want to be long. We have heard about we are not very clear, you'll educate us about these risk categories, how you categorize matches. It is said after PSL had applied to the subs, it is the police that decided this match is going to be a medium risk match. So one is not sure whether today, after what has happened, if subs can still maintain that it was correct to give the Kaizer Chiefs Free State Stars Nedbank Cup semi-final match a medium, because I think that goes with the number of or the kind of security that should be provided in a category that is given. The reason I'm asking this question, Chairperson, is because they gave this medium risk after Kaizer Chiefs officials had gone to an extent of notifying the police that be aware, our fans, you know Kaizer Chiefs is supported by so many people, our fans are not happy with the coach. And we have seen that in some of the games they've been throwing things because they were not satisfied with the coach. But medium risk was given. That is why I want to check as to, are they still happy or they can still maintain to say, yes, that kind of a match that was to be played deserves that medium risk safety or whatever they call it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable
Madiga,
and Honorable Jason.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, and Deputy Minister of Police in absentia. I just want, first off, to add to my voice now to what was said by Honorable Madiga. You know, Coach Abbas, what was said by the Deputy Minister was not too much management. Because when you say you don't want to waste time, it doesn't go well. And I'm sure I was trying to say he has got an urgent matter or a commitment to attend it. Not to say this one is not important. So it does not good, but now I'm sure he did not mean it for arbitrary. Did not mean that. But now, let me start off now with the supporters gap. Chintapurova, it was well told before when your management did attend now to supporters gap, because most of the things have got to be explained there. If you can just go to basics, then now you pay attention now to this supporters gap, whereby now the members of the card-carrying members now would be explained exactly what is expected of them. Then going to the matches now, it would work. And this should be supposed to be taken or to be judged by all clubs. Because you should start there. Yes, I heard the committee was saying now, we started goals. It's true. Because this behavior of not tolerating loss now should, at least now, try to keep the schools. But now, it was important, and it's also important now for the team, so for the club now, to pay attention or to care very much of the supporters' club. Then to teach and explain and to tell them what is expected in the supporters' club. Coming now to crime intelligence. You know, I wonder what is that was done by the crime intelligence, because it was well known even before the match that the supporters, Kaizer Chiefs supporters, were going for the head of Steve Corbella. And even there now, they were threatened, everything said about him. That was known. And I'm one of those now who did attend that. And we were nearly beaten up by these guys when they were going up, we were sitting so together. They were saying, I should start with these people. They are the cause of this. So, I think now, crime intelligence should have known this, that something was going to happen there. Then I don't take it down when you say there were no history of cow cashing in that stadium that they were going to go. But the people, same team, Kaizer Chiefs is one of the teams. So how can you talk about the thing that there were no cashing? If the same supporters are going to attend it, then the supporters that perhaps now will cause problems there. So it's not supposed not to be said, no, there were no questions before. That is not well taken. And again, for the PSL security, just send one PSL security, because you are responsible for that. That match, but you just send one person, one security member. How does that happen when you are responsible? So it is your sole responsibility. Last thing, now I heard about the criteria that you are using when you are selecting these companies, private companies, as you go there. But my worry here is that you get these security companies that they have to start and they have got all this. But let us come to the individuals. Are the actual individuals being trained how to help to take this matter to the stadium? Because if I'm running around, the government will say, we've got all these, we're registered and so on. But now, how do you know that the individuals are going to send the security are properly trained? So I want to share for that, if I can just get a response for that. Yeah, most of the questions have been covered by friends. And all of the question friends now, I believe we're not a comment. Perhaps all of the few done and I would get responses on my behalf. Thank you very much.
There's nothing like that. Honorable Philton.
Thank you very much, Chair. We appreciate the fact that relevant stakeholders saw it fit to come on invitation to Parliament. This is where accounting takes place, and contrary to what the Deputy Minister intimated you would wish to see not happening, naming people in Parliament, we don't do that. That otherwise would not be doing our job well. If when we do oversight, we shy away from saying so-and-so, you are responsible for this consequence.
That's how we work as Parliament. I just want to clear that for others. That's how we work. It shouldn't matter on us. This was not a Cosmos versus Stellenbosch FC match. This was Kaizer Chiefs, a big name in football in South Africa. And the stakes were high on the day. So my first question to the police is, what criteria do you use when you are going to grade a certain risk that on the day it transpires that no, you fell short? I'll deal with the police first for my own protection, and then I'll deal with PSL for my own happiness. Now, what did Kaizer Chiefs supporters had indicated that they were not happy with the coach? Now, that was a clear signal that something could happen, as some of my colleagues have already intimated that there has been this build-up. Now, what did you do when you got this piece of intelligence? Did you get it? What did you do about it? Did it perhaps have the effect of influencing you to upscale the level of the risk of the match and thereafter possibly draw in more personnel, beef up your security, so to speak? Number three, what is the standard proportion of security personnel to the people at the stadium? On the day, apparently it was something like 1 to 37. I'm not factoring in issues like their capacity, space within which they were supposed to run, and so on. Just a pure number. What is the standard, you know, expectation there? Number four, with so many security institutions, I include the police here, who is responsible, who was responsible for coordinating operations, and what mode of communication, I'm looking here at effectiveness of communication, what sort of communication was used on the day to make sure that there was effective, you know, coordination of the operations on the day? Was such, have you so far established that that coordination did take place, and with what effect? Why on such a day, when you are expecting so many tens of thousands of people, why open up only 18 gates instead of 40? Because there the tension begins to build. You know, you expect people very enthusiastic to support their team, and you expect them to chew for quite a long time before they get in. They want to get into the game. Why open only 18? And did anybody see the build-up of numbers on average? In other words, how long would a spectator stand in the queue? Because that's where pressure begins to build up. Who is responsible for ensuring that deployed security personnel are properly and appropriately qualified for the job on the day? Does such a person issue a certificate on the day to say, yes, I clear the security, to say they are appropriately qualified, the numbers are okay, we may proceed with the event? Because rather than losing one South African life, an event could either be delayed or postponed. That is the start time. If you see that there's a high risk, that's why I want to know where if a certificate does get issued to say clearance certificate, here it is, we are comfortable from a security perspective to PSL. Or before I move over to PSL, my impression about the police, and this is why I reacted the way I did when even the deputy minister found it necessary to leave us alone here, is that by and large, our police are reactant rather than responsible. If you look at the Innova case, that policeman was drawn in. He just reacted, he heard that there was something happening. He just moved into the mouth of the lion, and he was swallowed. His life is gone. Because that's how quite a number of times subs operate. They just react instead of respond. When you're going to respond, you would prepare yourself in so many other ways, which are not even visible for that matter. Then you are reacting. But if you're reacting, also the bomb that you go head on, and you are into it. It took some time for us as spectators to see. I was not there just on TV to notice the police where that guy was on the ground and being mauled by disappointed spectators. It took some time. You can count the number of seconds when you look at that. And that's what I mean by saying you get a react rather than respond. State of readiness for an event of that nature, for an eventuality of that nature, to PSL. Before today, the 8th of May, what steps did you take to make sure that there is sufficient compliance with South Korea before today? I didn't say before that event. You've already had the event. Have you since perhaps, either before the event or after the event, taken any steps to make sure that there is sufficient compliance with South Korea? Number two, what amendments to South Korea do you want? I'm asking this question in my capacity as a lawmaker and would like to come to the party and assist the citizens of South Africa where there is a legislative gap. Lastly, on infrastructure. Does the infrastructure in that stadium comply with the needs of the day? In other words, playing, effective playing of the match, as well as the security, which I think are the critical elements of the events, you know, in the events of the day. Does it? If not, have you pointed this out to the relevant authority, which I think is the municipality? And what has been their response so far? I thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. First, I want to say we appreciate the fact that the Minister for Sport is with us, and we hope she will have an opportunity and take it to respond to our questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. Honorable. Oh, can I move? Okay, it's me. Thank you, Chair. I think everyone in this room should be thanking their lucky stars that we didn't see a repeat of the 2001 Ellis Park catastrophe, which killed 43. So, they didn't. But three questions to the SAPS, one to Sierra. To the SAPS, what exactly is the protocol in the run-up to a match of this caliber, and how many planning meetings were held before the actual match in question, and how many of those were attended by the person in charge, Lieutenant Colonel Sugamoni? Now, there are reports going around that he only stepped in at the very end, at the last meeting, after all the planning had been done, and it strikes me that that would have put him at a massive disadvantage in terms of command and control. So I need an explanation for that. Then, where is a copy of the cut and paste operational plan, which my information tells me was only signed off on Sunday the 22nd, the day after the match of the 21st of April? Now that, in my mind, would be equivalent to fraud. If indeed the operational plan was only signed off after the match, it says to me that there is a major cover-up underway. I want to know if that plan was ever, as it should, sent to and seen by the National Police Commissioner. Then, the police, you have agreed to and gave permission to have the three massive events held on the same day, in close proximity, and from what I gather and have been told, you had insufficient police to handle the day. And yet the turnstiles were open on speed before the game. That speaks to the possibility that no searching was being done. The crowd control, because they only had a few gates open, that tells me you had insufficient staff, either police or the security staff, to open the gates, which should have been opened.
And there seems to have been zero crowd control either before or after the fact, after the match. Now, on top of all of this, your crime intelligence decided this was a medium risk event. The outcome speaks to a massive failure on their part, something we have come to expect from them over the last 8 years, but there's a new broom at the top sweeping, and I think we need an explanation. And finally, to Sierra, the security company, and those are the members that we saw in the middle of the field. It's apparently an 18-month-old company based in KwaMashu, and we heard at great length what training is offered by Sierra, and there was a lot of explanations that went on, but I want to know what training the specific security members at the stadium on the 21st of April actually had in terms of crowd management, access control, and security. It's fine to tell us what Sierra does, but did the members of this company, have they gone through, did they have the certificates, had they passed the relevant courses? And I asked this because I watched as various of them picked up chairs in the middle of the pitch and threw them at the pitch invaders. So I'd quite like to know if this is in your security training manual, your crowd control manual. What gave them the idea that throwing chairs was going to achieve anything? My guess is they had zero training from you. And then the question, obviously, is how did they get the job? Because
it spoke to the whole world who saw that film footage. They hadn't a clue what they were doing. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentations. Just three quick questions from my side. The first, and they're all to the steps. The first relates to the crime intelligence issue that was raised by the Honourable Caller Barnard. We saw in the presentation that pitch invasion had been indicated as a possible threat. So the natural question that arises is, so did the operational planning then make explicit tactical provision for that possibility becoming or manifesting into reality? Because if that tactical provision had been made, then one assumes that the security officers, both SAPs and privates, on the ground would have had some templates to work with when that started happening in order to mitigate, and we didn't see any evidence of that. So having been alerted that there was that possibility, was it then catered for in the operational plan? Or was it a case of, as I suspect, we think it might happen, but gee, we hope it doesn't. Let's cross fingers, you know, because that would be a major gap and shortfall. Secondly, on the matter of the actual signing of the operational plan, that information about the signing happening post the facts also came across my radar. So my request would be, with the support of the co-chairs, if we could please have that documentation forwarded to the two committees so the members can inspect that for ourselves as part of ongoing oversight of the matter. And then finally, just to verify, and perhaps the acting provincial police commissioner might be able to give some clarity and insights on this. Is it true that there were also two other major events happening in Durban on that day, and that police personnel resources were actually stretched too thin over the intervening metro, which basically means that the allocation of officers at the stadium was not based on or reflective of the actual need given the size and the risk category of the events, but was actually primarily curtailed by the fact that SAPs has a shrinking budget for paying overtime to members, and that the members who were allocated were not the numbers required, and that the deployment that would have needed was not sufficient. Was this structurally, systemically impacted by the ongoing budget baseline reduction and fiscal crisis that SAPS is facing? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mbele, Honourable Mabisha. Honourable Mbele, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question goes to SAPS. Only 4 arrests were made so far. When did we see more arrests taking place? My second one goes to PLR. Why was there no clear information on your announcement of the security guard that we saw that was taken in the pitch? At 1 minute, it was a male. The other minute, it was a she, and so on. Why was this confusion? My third one goes with, once we know the police are assigned the job of protecting us all as citizens, do clubs not have an obligation of providing some form of security at the stadium, especially the hosting club? My last one goes to Sarah. In your preliminary investigations, if they were done so far, were these security guards that were at the stadium on the day in question, were they all properly registered with Sarah? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mwakibadze. Honourable Mwakibadze. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for your presentation. My first question goes to SARS. 20 POPs members, 33 VISPOL members, 10 crime intelligence members. Were the members enough for 26,000 people? My second one goes to PSL. One PSL security. Why did you let one PSL security attend the event, because that event was big, the plenary meetings? My second question goes to SARS. We heard in passages that SARS members didn't attend plenary meetings. Is it true? My third question goes to Christine Sawu. Kaizer Chiefs supporters were not happy with their coach. What have you done? And Mr. Ndawu, what were you expecting from your supporters on that day? My fourth question is about the media. How do you know that this was the medium risk or high risk or safety check?
Thank you, Honorable Member. The next member, Honorable Mabin.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I want to say here and now is something different from the questions that I'm hearing, because support my statement by saying I should think that this football supporters mindset is skewed. And why? Because we do not care about changing their mindset. Secondly, we have drug laws. SAPS is busy trying to arrest them because those children, those supporters, when they come in being high. Any little thing, it irritates them and they must act. Why? Because of those drugs. And the drug lords are busy making money on the sense of our people here in South Africa. And drug lords, most of them, do not belong here. And they don't take drugs. Drugs that they give our children and our people to come to the stadium and do hooliganism that we are experiencing. And therefore, I would like to appeal to all the people from different institutions here, including the football club leadership, including ourselves as public representatives. It's our duty, all of us, from the ground up to the top, the national, from down up to national, all different political parties, to change our modus operandi and do the right thing, to come up with wise and strong and effective strategies to change the mindset of our masses, more especially the football club supporters. Because you can come here and tell us this and that and that, and we ask 1, 2, 3, you come back responding, hey, 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 hey. And then what next? Something is going to happen again. Before we can even keep changing the mindset of those supporters. Because a human being, as I'm seated like this, the human mind is unpredictable. When we are born being blank like a new chalkboard. But what comes into our mind? If we don't accept, we are not going anywhere. Because after this meeting, then what? Maybe I don't understand the language for the reason we are here. We can listen and do all these things, go up, sideways and down. But if the mindset of our supporters is not changed from a negative connotation to a positive connotation about the effects of this football this football, the attitude towards this, you win or lose, life goes on. And if we break, we destroy what we have, because I'm high with on drugs. When the effect is gone, I've got no stadium to go to. And the name of the football club is gone. So Womdawu and the other people who have responsibility, let's come together and have one strategy. I don't know how that can happen, but that is the only way to keep this hooliganism in the stadium. I thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Musi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we actually the last time had requested, like you said, that we want to do an oversight at the municipal leader for the sole reason or for reasons of wanting to check the damages, but again check the structure of Moses Mabhida. I remember that we made an example the last time that look with FNP. It is not easy, as far as I'm corrected in a case I'm wrong. When there are seats like this, just between the seats and the pitch, there is some sort of a hole that is there. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I think with that, it sort of, you know, prohibits anybody who would want to quickly jump into the pitch. But I think it is not the same with I know that you know these incidents are not happening for the first time. I remember at a certain point I was at FNP and it happened exactly there, but that time it was between other children and parents, whereby, you know, the spectators, for them, in order to, you know, access the pitch, they had to break the billboard and put it in between so that they can jump into the what you call. So I'm saying it is. It looks like it is not the same with Moses Mabhida, but we wanted to check that and verify that. Now somebody else is going to tell us whether we are wrong. Those who are familiar with the structure of the area. Chairperson, I just want to check, Chairperson, any of the three would answer this as to whether there was a real caucus for planning in between perhaps senior management, the police, a tangible one, not sort of an imagined or presumed type of a caucus. You would tell us, Chairperson. But Chairperson, this goes directly to Sierra. We nearly saw someone else die there. Of the security personnel who was there, who was killed and hit with chairs, plastic chairs. Now I want to check with them, during their training, what measures do they have for their members in cases where, you know, their lives are threatened, like the one that we saw. Chair, that's another question. The other question that I want to pose, Chairperson, perhaps to the chairman, is to ask them as to whether the affected club did go through those people who stormed the stadium to check as to whether they are registered members or were just elements of criminality or criminals. Tell us, Chairperson. But Chair, I also want to indicate that, you know, like I said, that these things are not happening for the first time. They've happened many times. And I don't know, I don't remember of an instance where I heard of a club owner who publicly condemned such issues, strongly condemning them, without necessarily having to fear that perhaps would anger their fans or supporters. I want to make an example, Chairperson. You know, one day I heard of one coach, Stuart Baxter. He was coaching Kaizer Chiefs, and there was a player who is no more with Kaizer Chiefs at the moment. And every time that player would touch the ball, the spectator would go like, and that was a Kaizer Chiefs player. And I remember I saw Stuart Baxter condemning that strongly so.
and even going to a point of saying, I as a coach would not allow some sort of a stupid fan to tell me what to do with, you know, with my players. You remember that situation that the last Houston got them very much. Now I'm waiting, Chairperson, to hear such a strong weight, from any of the club owners. I'm not speaking of KZN Chiefs only in this case, but I speak of all other clubs that might be involved or would do this similar case. The last Chairperson, sort of a comment. You know, I would agree with people who say that whoever is a law enforcer should have been ready, because they knew that this was not a small event. And I would like to add it by saying that they also knew that, you know, we as South Africans, and I'm including myself, we are a violent nation, Chairperson, and I still stand to be convinced otherwise that South Africans are not a violent nation. I stand to be convinced. We are a violent nation. We are feared all over, you know, Africa. Even if you can go to Botswana, you're going to tell, no, more has in South Africa, more Cambodia. Now I'm saying, Chairperson, with that in mind, could have been prevented. And Chairperson, I say until something is done, we are going to remain a country like this, very violent. And I want to concur 100% with what the Deputy Minister of Police said, that as we advocate for school sport, let us also talk about safety. But let us also go to an extent of teaching, you know, our youngsters that you know, these things that they see that they call stadia is their property. Let us teach them about ownership. Let us teach them about good behavior. Let us teach them about their responsibility, Chairperson. Because truly speaking, this is a culmination of what is happening in wars. This is a culmination of what is happening during soccer matches of schools. They always fight. Chairperson, I'm saying I stand to be convinced otherwise. Based on quite a number of things that happened in the past 2 weeks. Look at Northwest, what is happening there. Look at Devon, what is happening there. Look at Muslims, what happened there. You know, this is a violent nation, and something needs to be done. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister. Yes, and Honorable Musi is definitely not a violent person next to me. Regarding the VOC, Chairperson, did the VOC commander ensure that his police plan is prepared? Was the plan distributed to all role players for at least 30 days in advance? And what's the decision regarding the 18,000 40? Would you make a decision to say open only access? And then in terms of the security, Chairperson, the city guard, I'd like to know what is the difference between a city guard and a security guard and any other guard. What type of training is required to be a qualified city guard? And how long is the duration of the training to qualify as a guard? Are there any specialized trainings involved in qualifying of these guards versus security guards? And what is the duration, again, of training? By the screening, the presenter mentioned the screening takes place. It sounds like last night on TV they had a program. It was on SABC2, and it's a scam. It sounds like a scam, the screening process, where they showed the banking statements, the payslip, look authentic, but of course it is a scam. I hope it's not a scam in the security system. How will future screening take place? How will you make sure that this doesn't happen again, that you do have the people that you screen, that they are there? I would think there would be some identification process that takes place, so when people pass by, they check to see everybody's okay, so somebody should be checking them too. And then are crowd control part of all this thing, Chairperson? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Rolikov.
Chair, well, I've been largely covered by my colleagues from both committees. Just two concerns here. categorization, which quite clearly means it informs your deployment. Once you have categorized medium, A, or then it assists with you deploying adequate numbers. But where do you get those numbers? How do you arrive at deploying 600 and something vis-a-vis 80,000 spectators? Don't you think maybe there is a need to tighten that area? My second concern here is who takes absolute responsibility for the event of that nature? Is it PSL because they are the ones that are paid, or is it security because they are the ones that approved the staging of the event as the subsphere? But from where I'm sitting, it is quite clear that there might be gaps, either not informed regulations to ensure that the subsphere is implemented to the full. So we might have to, through the assistance of the minister, that we get to the bottom of ensuring that the same thing does not happen again. Mind you, there are still going to be big matches, even Davis, most probably between Chiefs and Tigers, that have been the same thing. That never again must the same thing happen. And therefore, I think that is why it is important that the minister should act very fast to ensure that we tighten the rules for staging events of this nature, while we continue with tightening SASRIA or closing the gaps, if those gaps are there. So, in short, I'm saying we support initiatives that were stopped by the department to do a full-scale inquiry, because we need to ensure that we get all key people, the municipalities, private security, all the key people that were responsible, so that we can get to the bottom. But in the meantime, we'll have to rely on the minister to ensure that never again must the same event happen, because quite clearly there are gaps. There are gaps that we have identified on the basis of the presentation that has been made. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. Yes, just a few observations, then two very short questions. I think the elephant in the room really today, judging from the input and the question of the members, is stadium management. They're supposed to be here, and their absence is really not acceptable. Of course, they've got various input that they must give. And I think a lot of the questions of the members is really aimed at stadium management in terms of the preparations for that. So that is maybe an issue that Co-Chair, your committee could follow up going forward. Then one quick question to Dr. Corsa and the soccer fraternity. Maybe going also forward, one of the lessons and also the practices in other jurisdictions, shouldn't we ban spectators for life just involved in such actions? And what is the soccer fraternity? What is your approach? And what would be your advice going forward? Then the last question quickly to the SAPs. In terms of your presentation, General Sithole, there was an indication that you are reliant on super support for view material in identifying the perpetrators of the violence. But POPS was deployed. Now, if it was medium risk or high risk, some members got a different view. Surely there should be video coverage of that event by SAPS. Going forward, what's going to be your approach in terms of medium and high risk? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, honourable members. I will just not ask so many questions, except that I will put recommendations, because we are here to assist others. We can fail if we are not recommending, in order that these hooligans and the killing of innocent, loving sport of South Africa, when they are going to watch a match and going back home, you get a corpse. I wanted to say, one, I'm proposing to all of us that let's go and discuss and think also as a committee, that do we need to have management of the stadium of private sectors or people. Stadiums are not belonging to a government. Let's go and check, why are we having stadiums given to the private securities? I'm aware that we have subs, we have people from intelligence. I'm not sure whether even those securities, especially management of the stadium, are being vetted. Secondly, I'm proposing that if it belongs to PSL, or if it belongs to whoever who is here, if as a department you cannot propose or cannot assist on having a black and white written something, a rule, that when we are expecting so much crowd, we expect to have so much securities. As we're speaking here, we don't know your guidelines, especially your PSL, that why did you send one? Because we don't know what is stipulated in your guiding lines. But as SASRIA and the department, we need to be involved and police, that we must agree upon certain things that we must do. We can't just have an open-handed rule. Because now, if I can ask, out of this 30,000, really, we were expecting such number, but no one is going to account, because there's nothing guiding saying that you have failed because according to your legislation or any rule, you were supposed to have so many. So I'm seeing a gap, and by seeing a gap, if we're not proposing, what must we do? What you are trying to avoid today is going to happen. Also, whilst we are here, some of us, I'm thinking that we must not just ask questions. We must propose the way forward, the gaps. Surely, as Minister already, she said that this SASRIA of ours, as a department, doesn't have teeth. I know me. So that's why we'll be supporting that minister. We do support her that we must amend SASRIA. So with other entities who are here, you must go and do something that will assist you and us, all of us. When some of us issued statements, I'm still maintaining hooligans who found guilty never ever go to
to any public event. And also, really, I'm bleeding. I know that if you are seeing me in the camera, I'm suspecting that the process is long. You don't know who's beautiful, and you will be knowing her because she's a chairperson of Sport and Recreation coming from Eastern Cape in Amdad. But other hooligans that you are seeing in camera, I'm suspecting that Home Affairs need to be with you in order that they must assist and identify. But really, the number is very small. But I'm raising this with this concern or this understanding that there are so many departments who are supposed to be involved in order that you must take the cup, please. Also, I'm suspecting to propose to UPFN and SAFA assisting each other. People who founded before other years and these three incidents, you must terminate their membership. Because the money that now the Pirates and Kaiser Chiefs find, I don't know how did you come to that. It's the money that, as this committee, we want to see a development, especially in the rural areas, that those boys and girls must be involved to any clubs that you must assist. But how now are you going to do that? But also to honorable members and honorable leaders, this thing it begins at home. It's not about sport people and clubs. They are coming from our own homes. This thing of charity begins at home. You know, even this sketch of rape, some they will say, you see government, what are you doing? But the culprit is my son. The culprit is my husband. What are we doing at home as parents? And the Christianity and the traditional leaders. So sometimes when we're blaming, we must be parents, knowing that we must have a role. That school sport is right, but those kids, they're even clapping the teachers in the classroom. And those kids are from our own. Thank you so much. I want talk again, but I wanted that everyone must not just ask questions. He must assist to close the gap, to propose. Because if we are coming here to only fire only the questions, rightly so, it's our right. Because we're just innocent. We don't know who's supposed to do what. But in turn, let's get a way forward out of this collective. Thank you so much. Honorable Chairperson, welcome again.
Sorry, Chairperson, I'm breaching a protocol. Ngokuthetha emva kwakho. Mhlawumbe there are a few things umuntu kufanele ukuthi azirenzele. One of the people is ebesixoxa nabo ngilapha stadium. I was asking what could be the cause of the behavior kubantu abazobuka isoka. And somebody said most of the people they love soccer. Kodwa ibhola lona abalazi. Angazi ke noma that's what all of us can agree on that. But Chairperson ngokusukade wangena kule ama resolutions and recommendations. there are times in soccer where there were pledges, even on international soccer match against racism and then all sorts of social ills. Maybe this is one of the things, violence, because violence is not just about soccer. Within an adult person who might have the guts to destroy a camera, there is a child inside him that is angry. It takes few seconds for a person to be angry and act. But it's not all of the people that can be angry, agitated, and act. So I think this is one of the places that we can look around and use in our soccer matches, or in all other sports for that matter. Because in KZN, in one of the rugby matches, one of the spectator was gunned down. But it wasn't so much in the media or even to reach your meeting like this as part of the agenda. Chairperson, kune input from Sira. My take is that Sira is not coming with the analysis in terms of what is their take on Ellis Park, what is their take on 2017. Their analysis, they are not giving us analysis, they are reading us EAT, NAMA legislation, and what could be expected. There is no analysis and report to say, in that incident, this is what we gathered around the security companies that were there on that day. The issue of the ratio, the standard that goes with all the stakeholders, from the search to your medical personnel, because it's not only about what could happen in the stadium that you would expect as a disaster. For instance, one of the matches, the hooligans were fighting outside the stadium, and they were very violent. In that one, there were so many people that were injured. But if you don't have a medical personnel in the corner, I think my take would be that what is the standard ratio on a number of spectators as opposed to all these personnel that might be there in the stadium. In today's newspaper this morning, there is a story around the perpetrators that handed themselves. I don't gather whether this number that the SERS is giving us is the same that includes the perpetrators that handed themselves to the police, but it's in today's newspaper. The issue of categorizer of the event, maybe I may cast aspersion on our intelligence in South Africa in general, not only on this one. I don't understand how do you categorize and then at the same time vis-a-vis the operations and the analysis of the intelligence. And also the consequences of the spectators from way back on all these matches and whatever that has happened, what has been the consequences? Was someone's membership terminated? Anyone on the sales of the illegal parking tickets? Is it investigating that, or because no one has been injured around that issue, so it's not a criminality? One needs to understand that. But I would want to also agree with some of my colleagues to say that mob psychology is something else. But it also depends on the personality of the person within that mob. Hence, I agree that we have an angry society. Mhlambe, it's not enough that we are sitting here just alone and taking resolutions. At some point, you may go back to person and think, what could be the engagement with the spectators? Because you could have a spectator at home. I've heard some other people that have killed each other because they were watching TV and they got angry against each other and then they killed each other. Someone was killed after the match. So it's not just about being inside the stadium. It's about the societal issue of the society, the type of society that we have. So that when we deal with this issue, Chaperson, we also look for a way forward. How do we engage anyone in the society and categorize around the different sports codes and also with soccer spectators? Thank you.
Thank you very much to the chairperson of the committee and the legislature. The co-chair, Dave, has asked to chair the last part of the meeting. Members, we've got less than 40 minutes left for responses, so we'll go to responses. If your specific questions have been answered or you need more information, we'll ask that in writing from the various institutions. We will start with Dr. Carlin. Right, let's give the executive authority of the sports department. Minister, we'll give you the first opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thanks to the Chair of the Portfolio Committee for Sport and Recreation as well, and all Honourable Members for their questions and input. It's a humble request that I would have to leave just after the reflection. But the DG for the technical issues remains here and responds those that would affect issues, technical issues. Chair, thank you once more. I think the exercise continues to also require some of the facts around matters and information that is presented, that I think it is going to also be its own process of some of the information that will come back. But I think critical in our engagement, it is bringing together all these critical role players, because I think it is all must be our commitment to South Africa, to the people that we are leading, so that we do our work, and therefore we account if we have not done that work. Chair, I think from my side, I just wished to reflect on one question from first question from the honourable members for the clarification on the withdrawal of the inquiry. Indeed, the withdrawal, as I indicated earlier on, was out of a court challenge by the stadium management committee of the FNB Stadium, which is outside jurisdiction of the national, of Department of Sport and Recreation, which then, which had taken us to court. It did not even come to indicate that objection. Otherwise, we had engaged with PSL and SAFA earlier on and convinced them, because they had indicated that they are conducting their own investigation onto the matter, and were pointing out that they cannot be represented and players. We have to come in and conduct the investigation. So after that convincing, they then supported us in the ministerial inquiry. Except for the time now, we had this court challenge by the stadium management. So that matter is before the court.
in the latest engagement on the subsequent incident of the Moses Mabhida Stadium, when we engaged further again with them, they indicated that they are willing to engage with stadium management for them to withdraw, because they could see on the urgency of the matter, as well as on the fact that they have to cooperate with some of the people that they are working with. Without that, we don't have anything. Presenting before this committee our latest to say we have requested the presidency for a judicial inquiry, and the presidency has agreed to that. That is the stage where we are, because we think it is all going to give us an opportunity as ourselves with National Department of Sports to also go before that inquiry to reflect on what we have not done. And all the critical role players, but we will not be waiting for the outcome of a judicial commission. There's short-term issues that we need to tackle. I think in the earlier presentation of where we are looking at, where then can we make sure that one, starting with BSL and SAFA, we had dictated a gap between the two of North City, and I have since directed the Deputy Minister to facilitate the city, because there's a lot that they need to share. And I understand if it then gets just out of the door of the CSF, and it has to link up with the rest of the role players, they have taken their responsibility, they have done their responsibility, they are communicating amongst us. So that has been what we have done, and in the interactions between amongst the stakeholders, we also agree that we need to have multidisciplinary commission, so that because we are now going for another biggest match on the 16th of this month, we should have put all those mechanisms. Every role player has to be here. But every role player, as the role player comes, must know and understand their role. It is reflected. It just goes with responsibility in those areas that we still need to tighten, as the honorable members are saying. But also, I think on the other matters, as they were also reflected by honorable members, the investment by clubs on their own club members, to ensure that they understand when they get to matches and all of that, but also investment into South Africa, because it's South Africans who are watching these games. It is South Africans who come to these games at times, not because they are a part of the clubs and all of that. So it's very critical that as we all go as public representatives and everybody, we go together, we also see their commitment, they participate in the work that we have to do. And we also wish to say we want to make sure that there's cooperation also in the review of the legislation, because it's also going to assist us to further clarify on the gaps and the roles of each of the role players moving forward. And lastly, Chair, that looking forward, I think honourable members are spot on to check on some of these matters and ask these questions, but some of them will not be coming forth in the meeting. They will be following, but they will the remaining from the department will be able to reflect specifically on matters coming from the department. If I may just say, Chair, we are having a media briefing for the centenary, an inter-ministerial media briefing for the centenary of Nelson Mandela, which also captures what sport will be doing over the years as part of commemorating the centenary of Dada Nelson Mandela and that of Mama Nancy Kedros. So we had already invited the media for 12. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you for attendance. We go immediately to Dr. Koza of the Yes, our time is just running out, so members, please be able to answer. Of course, are you welcome.
thank you very much. Starting with your first question, you're absolutely correct. Because when you look at the legislation, there's no deterrent on the side of the supporters. And that is why it's a free right for them to commit whatever crime in the stadium, because there's no obligation on them. And that's why the clubs are always exposed, you know, because one member of must educate the supporters what we do in the membership. Some are friends. They come as and when they want to. Some are criminals. They do this thing, you know, intentionally. That you are going there to go and commit this kind of a problem. No, we're not talking about what happened at FNB. You meant what happened at FNB. Why people died. Because it's the element of people that, you know, is really now organizing itself into an organized group to create criminality, cause criminality wherever they go. So therefore, the issue of supporters taking responsibility, I think, is very important. Because you can see in the UK, you know, when it's a celebration like Manchester City, supporters went in there. There was no threat. But if you go there when the game is on, when there's no need for you to go there and celebrate, it's a breach of. And the law takes the takes control, and you are charged for invading that pitch as trespassing. But also coming to who take full responsibility. Yeah, I think that question was answered by the police. But in terms of the South Korea Act, you know, when the National Commissioner appoints, you know, an authorized member. The authorized member is responsible for establishing the Event Safety and Security Planning Committee, and all reports go to him, and the man, the authorized member on the day of the game is the war commander. So now it's an issue that also confuses us, especially in football, because on the one side we've got the match commissioner that is responsible for certain elements of the game, but there are certain elements that are the prisoner of the war commander. So it's an issue that, you know, maybe the police will clarify, or maybe in the future will clarify, because it is a bit tricky when decisions need to be taken, especially in situations of similar nature that we are talking about. Now the issue of the PSL, you know, why did no identify or tell the people in advance early whether it was a woman or a man? So we did not announce until I called the press conference myself. Because we are gathering information. It was the media who sponsored that narrative. And my first point, you know, before I started with the press conference, I clarified. Well, the first one to clarify that it was not a woman, it was a man that was kicked at most of my business. But also very important is that we also had to make sure that we condemn the incident, you know, that took place. And Kaiser Chiefs in their website, you know, they did also condemn. Even today in my, you know, submissions, I did condemn. We condemn it all along to make sure that, you know, we send the message across. And all the incidents that took place were public and on record, having called the press conference to condemn the behavior of the supporters. Now, one thing which I need to correct, there was no one PSL security. There was one member in the bulk of the PSL. One member of the PSL in the VOC, because in the VOC, all these, you know, stakeholders that are responsible for providing services, you know, in that game, they are led by a person in the VOC. So it was not a security in the PSL. It was the VOC member who is the head of security and risk in the PSL. So I'll just clarify that.
also,
Dr. Boso, sorry to bother you. If you can just speak closer to the mic for the audio. Thank you, thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you.
I'm not audible enough. So I was just indicating that, you know, in terms of the VOC, you know, the lot of members in the VOC command, where every stakeholder is represented. The PSL was represented by this particular member of the National Risk Manager of the PSL, the Frick Masemun. So far as the stadium compliance, in terms of the South Africa Act, you know, cannot allow a game to take place if it has not complied with Section 8. Was Australia. In the Section 8 of the Australia Act, you know, is to deal with infrastructure. And whether we've complied with the SAFA and the FIFA guidelines, I think we have done. Because the second thing that has been removed in terms of, you know, using the stadium because of safety, you know, challenges, and those elements were discouraged by FIFA to take place. And so far as the issue of the moat, I think the member has not been in the stadium for a long, long time. We need to play the World Cup, I don't think, was at the stadium, because that's not the problem. So I just said, I must indicate that, you know, I understand where it's coming from, but the motor was not there. But all the stadiums, in terms of our compliance manual, pursuant out of the recommendation of the Welfare Commission, we developed a compliance manual, which Chairperson will have to deal with you, to see what steps we've taken in making sure that all the stadiums we will play, there's a proper compliance, even prior to establishment of the South Korea already had a compliance manual insofar as the issues of stadiums, in terms of media, in terms of all other stakeholders that members must adhere to. And in between, we have been conducting, you know, seminars, workshops to assist them in making sure that there's a proper compliance on the part of our members of the PSL. Insofar as the issue of security, I want to indicate that the PSL, the difference in numbers, when you spoke about 561, talk about the PSL deployment, the security deployment, we don't include the police, we don't include the medical, the deployment insofar as the bench commissioner's report gave to us. Because at 5:15 on the day of the game, the full final, you know, dress rehearsal of the deployment numbers, you know, of that particular match. All people were in that meeting, and the deployment numbers were given to us, gave us the number 561. So there might be other maybe deployment, you know, that they need to know, either it's crime intelligence and whatever, that ends up with the difference on the numbers. But insofar as the numbers is concerned, that can simply be verified and maybe come back, you know, with the answer to be able to assist in making sure we verify that that part of it. Insofar as the issue of supporter education, I think we are faced with a challenge, you know, in football, because what we see is an extension of what happened in our society. And I always say that football is a big hospital. But the people that come there, they have psychiatric problems, they've got psychological problems, they've got medical problems. The only happiness they get is football. And if you give an opportunity to vent out your anger, you can imagine what happens. And that is why we have made an attempt between parents and chiefs that to eliminate this anger, that people must be able to learn to coexist, that they must be able to participate in a game and enjoy the game. If the one wins, good luck, the one loses. That's why all the judges, you find parents and chiefs supposed to be sitting together. It's an effort and attempt on us to educate other people. To say it's not a matter of life and death if we have lost the game. But again, you are saying that we cannot conclusively say that if some of these people are supported or not, we still think it's a criminal element. But maybe the investigation will assist us to identify, to determine that, you know, why on a game that, you know, of this nature, you have people doing what they are doing. Where games that is life and death, because the derby is the ultimate test in the country, where emotions are building up, and the whole country comes to a standstill, and we manage, you know, as far as we are trying, it might happen one day, that it has never happened for a long time, that there's a greater incident, you know, of violence in those games that take place. But we're trying our best at all times to make sure that, you know, we educate our supporters. But again, insofar as the program we've established in the PSL to go around to all the clubs, you know, we started on the 16th to the 20th of May, again in June, we're upskilling, you know, our safety officers in terms of, you know, the preparations of the reports, the preparation of plans, but also support and education. That process is taking place ongoing. Sometimes it's not reported publicly. In 2017 that was done also, in 2014 that was done also. We are ever trying to upskill and upgrade in our people. And that is why we are saying that even with CIRA, on the day of this game, CIRA was there to ascertain whether these people are compliant in terms of the CIRA requirements. But in terms of the expertise of the requirement of ourselves, there's another discussion which was still trying to investigate as the PSL to understand that the deployment of those people, what were their skills and competence. But we are happy that on the day of that game, CIRA was there to make sure people that are deploying that game are CIRA, you know, what call it relevant, you know, to participate in that game. Whether the skills or whatever is another discussion to be dealt with, you know, another time. Now the issue of the home team, in this match, the home team is just for the choosing of the dressing room. But in a cup game, the PSL is responsible insofar as the match is concerned. Now when you toss, we toss only for the sake of the dressing room, and which side you start, you know, at the start of the game. But you know, insofar as the other issues of control, you know, Kaizer Chiefs is not controlled of the activities of that game because it's a cup game. It's only when it's a big game where they are responsible insofar as the issues of taking responsibility on the matches of this nature. The issue of the ratio. We have raised the issue of the ratio because it's a challenge to us, and that is why, you know, we raise it, because there's the issue of the regulation. Now, insofar as the sports and safety, sports and regulation, they did come up, you know, with the regulation insofar as infrastructure is concerned. Insofar as the issue of the SAS layer, we don't have what's called the regulations, which guides us insofar as the development is concerned. It's a matter that obviously is a short-term solution. We recommend that it must be attended to assist us to make sure that you will know that, you know, if the deployment, what is the ratio insofar as that deployment is concerned. So we're hoping that, you know, it's going to assist us going forward, you know, insofar as having the right numbers of people, insofar as, you know, the requirements of that regulation is going to assist us. I think that's a question. Well, the issues of some of the challenges that are on top of our head, you know, that we've identified, you know, in the South Korea, I think, you know, there's a few of them that we've indicated. For instance, the one that, you know, we raised at some point, South Korea requires that, you know, we must provide our schedule 6 months in advance to be able that, you know, schedule must be assessed to give you the policy and opportunity. And I think the Minister Commissioner indicated that was meant, you know, to cater for major events. Obviously, the build up from the Web Commission's report, but mainly it was also fast tracked, you know, to comply with the 2010 FIFA World Cup, which, you know, are events of that magnitude that require that lead time for preparations in terms of security, in terms of intelligence, in terms of planning, disaster, and all other things. But we are saying that, you know, in the PSL, because of the nature of our sport, for instance, the Netball Cup, you can't determine in advance who's going to play what game, you know. But also in terms of the league itself, you know, we finish our games, you know, during July, we start again in August. So that 6 months, you know, lead time that is required, we can't comply with it. But also the provision of the issues of appeal. Now, let's take the incident of Moses Mabhida. If there's an issue at that meeting of the Mesh Commission at 5:15, it was a matter that was raised. Let's make, for example, the issue of the assessment, the threat assessment of the invasion into the pitch. And we don't get, you know, comfort from the police. I'm making an example, I don't say it like that. They must appeal that this game must not go on because there's a threat. So why is that going to appeal? Because, you know, the department is a Saturday, is at night. and the time is quarter past five. So we are saying that it's very important that there are some mechanism that will assist us in terms of making sure that, you know, it enables us, you know, to resolve any certain things differently. But, you know, I guess, you know, some of these gaps will be discussed, you know, insofar as the issues of finding solutions going forward. So there are a few of them that, you know, we have identified, I guess, at the appropriate time, because now we're going to a commission, you need to, you know, to deal with those issues there, because we cannot do them, you know, piecemeal. So we are able to put more of them, you know, on the table, and we will assist us in making sure that, you know, we want, you know, to have a squeaky, well-run, you know, machine, because, you know, we've got the responsibility to do that. The people of this country, so we want people when they come to the city of the Brazil that they are secure, they are safe, they are protected. If there are any shortcomings, you know, all these roads are available to comply. Before, I don't know whether I've covered all of them, if I've missed others.
Very much, Dr. Kosa, would you like to move on? Madam, if there's anything left out, you can provide in writing if members are unhappy. General, you can go in. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thanks very much. I'm going to quickly take the directional type of the questions, and the operatives will then be feeding. The first one, I think honorable members would understand we pronounce the turnaround within, but in the turnaround is just two key issues. The intention is to create a crime-free environment for socio-economic stability. I think modus operandi has now began to move into the sports and recreation arena, because the sports and recreation is also seen as one of the pillars for socio-economic stability. So we just want to put upfront that there's new modus operandi creeping in. And our intention to deal with it, firstly, we want to appreciate the direction by the minister, and we want to come up with a third proposal that in order for us to respond now, that maybe the minister could consider a multidisciplinary steering committee where we will all come together and we provide a current response to what is happening, and we come up with a practical combating and prevention plan that this incident does not repeat itself. From the sub side, one of the few initiatives, obviously I've already asked SAFA that we have an agent meeting, and we have agreed, but we'll also meet with all the parties. One of the honorable members asked a question about the people who have arrested. Are they the real people or are they symptoms? And I'll give it a 50-50. To a large extent, symptoms, the mastermind, they are the drivers of the modus operandi, those who want to attack the well-being of the country. And for that particular reason, we're getting deeper into the modus operandi analysis. And if necessary, we then would like to research it. But in such, we formalize the modus operandi analysis center and would like to link it to the process of creating a safe and secure environment within the sports and recreation arena. Just there's a few questions on the number of people. They also talk to the grading. The operatives will provide a flash, but I wanted to put a request. I think there's a little bit of a gap between ourselves and the honorable members. And that particular gap requires a closed meeting avenue for us to brief the honorable members about certain approaches that is we follow. I'm saying so because we can't do the briefing on public media because some of the issues, they become national security issues. And I wanted to make the one example. If they bring to me a deployment that responds to a particular mesh size, but in that area
that area is a declared hotspot, then it means there's something else taking place in that particular area. And it's going to influence the deployment, even the nature and the quality. But seriously, that is where, if there's a national key point in that area, like for instance, this province, there's a national key point that can switch off the whole province if it's tampered with, the deployment is going to be different. But the health authorities would just like to close the gap so that when we decide on certain level and nature of deployment, they also understand the criteria that is driven by crime intelligence. We deal with the threat assessment part, but we also work with all the parties. They may provide just a flash. And there was a question with regard to what can be done to correct this. The first step to propose the review of the Act, and the Minister has already taken a step. And we have proposed that we go on a multidisciplinary feasibility analysis of this legislation so that we look at joint areas of improvement that can help us all to achieve the one goal. And it's a matter of short term. We can come up with a quick win action plan, and we then work together. The same applies to training standards. We can work together, we can do security together, but a certain security requirement responses that require a balanced approach and the maintenance of security standards across. And we usually make an example, especially in other events, not necessarily it could be like sports and recreation, but we just also want to say the dignitaries that we protect, they also support soccer. They go to stadiums. But we've got events where we will deploy from protection and security side. Then we have other dignitaries like mayors and others, they are protected by their own security. But the type of security that's brought in there, they don't meet the standards. And some of them, they might not have cast vetting and quite a lot of such stuff. All we're looking at is getting on integrated training. We look at the such standards. It's one area that we can work from. The one area I also want to support the view of the co-chair, the stadium management. It requires a little bit of a legislative review issue, and we can ask the committee. The committee is also to support us. The first thing is we've got what we call certain security standards, and then we have crime prevention principles. Now, any area that is so utilized under security must comply with the two principles. Now, some stadiums don't. Now, if they don't comply, we take the responsibility. So, and further to that, as such, in the short term, as we work with the parties, we've got a physical security assessment process that we follow, which we intend to apply to stadiums, so that we can then begin to say, moving forward, can we try to work towards bringing the following to stadiums so that they actually do the compliance. But the one other area why we say maybe the stadium management issue or the ownership maybe need to be looked into is that when there's a crime scene at the stadium, the police, we take charge, we don't care who owns. And we override any other law because it's a crime scene. So I think we want that to be part and parcel of the integrated that is approach, and so that we also have to say, for us to repeat, to avoid an incident from repeating, this is the following operational, I think, approach that needs to be adopted in supporting everyone. And then, Chair, maybe just to summarize from our side, we support the multidisciplinary steering committee, if there can be one. And the minister calls for it. We also support that let's have a quick win action plan so that this incident does not repeat itself. We can work together, and we are capable. We just have got little cracks that we can close those particular gaps. But we also propose that there be a feasibility analysis report on these two legislations, that they come back to Parliament. And then we propose the relevant amendments. And then the one area to that, I also want to propose we look at a review of the resource requirement for the execution of this act. Because not all the parties are equally resourced in order to respond to it. And those that are not equally resourced, sometimes they wouldn't fulfill all the expectations. It's not because they don't want to, but the resource requirement doesn't actually support them. So we can also review that particular resource requirement and we provide. Then we'll also we put together from SAF again the activation plan. We will also link to this to say, how do we get the activation plan to respond on any event and beating up even the disaster management side? Then the last two, one, we will also, we will propose we do an intelligence briefing and modus operandi briefing to the minister and the DG, so that the minister knows exactly what is the internal support, but we'll also do the same to SAFA, so that we share. And then we will always indicate this is the new modus operandi, and this is how we need to respond to it. And when there's national security issues, without disclosing all the information, we'll just say the security direction is going this way. And finally, also intelligence briefings. And then based on tactical operational issues, where we must work together. With your permission, Chair, I can just give the operatives a go to General Mawela and the PC, and they can add and the General first. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Sitoli. Let's go to General Mawela.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, thank you very much. Piggybacking on what the National Commissioner has just said, and also to respond to one of the questions raised by the Honorable Member, to say that knowing the threat, what more could we have done to mitigate what happened there? Our simple answer to that is that with better planning we could have done better. But we know our gaps, we know our limitations, and with better planning definitely we could have done better to address the situation. Again, there was a question talking about the 14 companies or 14 units, the securities, who is in charge there. At the stadium we have the venue operational center, and it is used as a coordinating mechanism. In simple terms, it means the VOC commander is the one who must direct the forces on the ground to say that you do this, you do that. And they report to their line managers inside the VOC, and the VOC commander becomes the overall commander of the activities that happen there. Profile of those arrested, I think it's a subject matter of investigation. Investigation still continue to know who are those people, what is their business, why have they done whatever they've done at the stadium. There was also a question whereby Honorable Member asked whether we are doing enough to ensure that this comes to an end, and what kind of a support do we require from parliamentarians. Yes. From the SAPS side, we have established the dedicated teams which will manage and plan for those events, especially in the three provinces, KwaZulu-Natal, KZN, and Gauteng, due to the magnitude of events they are holding from time to time. And with those dedicated teams, we believe that it will assist us to maintain the institutional memory and also to implement the succession plan, so that these old people who have been doing this thing, they can also assist those who are coming, the younger members, into this environment and assist them, so that we should not drop the standard of how we deal with these events. The issue of the process of categorization. I think several honourable members have asked about that, but the act is clear. Section section 6, subsection 7, from A to U of the SASRIA. It goes blow by blow. What are the elements which the National Commissioner must consider in terms of categorizing the event? But over and above that, it also requires members to be streetwise, to know the environment better. For example, members must be alive to the situation that the battle of the relegating teams, it is also of high profile. Not only the big names, the teams which are competing to enter the top 8 can also raise the stakes very high. The teams which are battling for the championship, they can also do the same. So the people, the planning officers, they need to take all these elements into consideration when they plan and also agree on the type of deployment which they have to put on the ground. The issue of we are not responsive, we are reactive, we fully agree with that. We could have done better with proper planning, meaning that we should have put enough members in place to ensure that they respond to the situation. Previously, we know that when the game with high stakes is about to end, all the securities, the police officers don't send to the ground to ensure that they do the barriers, protect the spectators, protect the players, protect the officials. But that was not done. We could do better with proper planning. What kind of a support do we require, especially with the SASRIA? I fully agree with the chairperson of PSL, Dr. Koza, to say that if we can add some penal provision in the Act for those who are contravening, whether role players, whether the spectators, whoever contravened any piece of Act there, there must be a penal provision to ensure that those people are held accountable. And also the issue which you spoke about, the appeal board and the 6 months submission of the schedule, we fully agree with him that it's something which we fully support, that it needs to be re-looked into. The protocol for pre-planning, again, the Act is very clear. It is regulated by Chapter 3, Part 1, Section 15 and Section 16. It tells exactly what the authorized member must do during the planning of this kind of event, and it is very much clear. It just requires that that member must ensure that he adhere to that, comply with the Act, then we won't go wrong. Copy of the plan, copy and paste, I think the PC will talk about it. The responsibilities of all role players there. Again, in the preamble of the Act puts some obligation to all the role players. It tells what must the stadium management must do, what must the event organizer must do, what must the police do or the security forces must do. The Act is very much clear. For all of us, it's just to comply with the Act. Then we'll never go wrong. The issue of the number of police officers deployed there, with better planning, definitely we could do better. Chair, can I give to you the...
Thank you, Mr. Mawela, General Langa, you can go in.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon to all the honorable members. Some of the issues have already been covered by my national colleagues as well as the DIFCOM, the Commission. But I will go straight to the issue of Lieutenant Kenneth Sikamane. I know that question has been raised now and then in the media to say he didn't attend the meeting. When we followed that one up and Kenneth on that particular day, he was at court with me. I can even give a proof of the subpoena that called him to court on that particular day. Not only that particular day, it was on the 17th as well as on the 25th. Maybe General can review the coming to the cut and paste or the plan that was signed after the match. That one we are not going to deny. It was signed after the match. The reason was given that it was emailed, but the person or the
commander or the person who was in charge of the operation, he couldn't actually sign the plan before you could send it to the, I mean, to the relevant levels.
Just on that matter, General Sitoli, we need consequent management in that case, definitely. We'll have to have that. Thank you. Just respond to that issue. Was it a serious issue?
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chair. By Friday, I will be receiving a report because I've instructed an internal investigation. It's not only on the matter, it's on all basic principles of policing and dealing with situations like this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Commissioner.
You can continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just in the last part, the update on the number of arrests, as it was raised by the Honourable Member, it has actually gone up to 7 right now. Thank you.
Sir, that's been raised today. Can you speak closer to the mic, General Lamba? Thank you. Other responses?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a quick, I think there was a number of questions on the training standards for the private security industry. Obviously, we prescribe the minimum training that the different categories of security service providers must have before they can render security service. And the training is also dependent on the nature of the security service that's being rendered by the particular security officers. There's a different curriculum prescribed for the different types of work. Now, in event security, there may be a number of courses that the security officer had to undergo. For instance, a security officer in a patrol environment, the stadium will need to do a grade E training curriculum in addition to the event curriculum, which is a week course for each. In the access control environment, they will have to do additional week course in access control search procedures and those kind of things. So there are different levels of training for the different categories of security service providers, and what we do as CIRA, we obviously monitor compliance with that levels of training for the security officers. In terms of who's responsible to ensure the security officers are properly registered and trained in an event environment, obviously the obligations are first of all on the business. The business is making themselves available for the rendering services at the particular event, and they've got obligations in terms of our act to ensure that they only employ registered and trained persons. And then from the ESSPC side, you know, they need to satisfy the planning committee that they are legally registered with CIRA and that their deployments are also compliant. And then from CIRA's side, obviously, we then verify and monitor those levels of compliance. I think the one question was also in terms of whether the security officers are properly trained in this environment. I think although we prescribe the statutory minimum training standard that security officers must undergo, there's definitely a lack in terms of the particular event environment. And I think what we are also highlighted in our presentation, some work needs to be done there because the security officers have got great or security-related training and event particular training at the local church bazaar. If they move into an event environment where, like in a stadium, there's a problem because they need to have specific knowledge of the environment which they are in. The stadium, they need to understand the stadium, they need to understand the participation with the venue operational centers. And the private security companies do provide that training, but we also find that although they may have event training in terms of the statutory requirement, the security officers, first time that they're actually at the stadium and do not actually understand that quite clearly. That's why we are also proposing that we look at some form of accreditation system, so the same security officers should actually be used at events and not different companies all the time and different security officers that may not necessarily have knowledge of the particular environment that they are working in. As far as the investigations are concerned, Chairpersons, we're quite far with our investigations. I can confirm that all the security companies that were used during the Muslim Abida tragedy, they are registered with us, they are legally registered with us. We are auditing all the deployments of the security officers, and we've identified some challenges, and we will take appropriate action, and we will also give feedback as far as that is concerned. Yeah, I think The one question was on the difference between static guard, security officers. That is all some terminology sometimes used to describe the same persons. You know, static security officer and a static guard, they're basically the same kind of person. It depends on the type of work they're doing. Our legislation describes a job description for the different security officer and then the curriculum that goes with that particular security officer. And I think there was one comment made on our analysis of the security at the event. I think I just want to make it clear that we as the regulator regulate those that the occupational security service providers. We are requiring them to be leader registered, screened, trained, etc., etc. CIRA is not an organ of state that looks at security trends and analysis. We're not security experts. That's why the multidisciplinary committee, planning committee, looks at the arrangements of the security at a particular event. We are interested in those that provide services, private security services, and then whether they are meeting the obligations in terms of our Act and regulations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. DG, I'm going to give you the last opportunity, very short. Okay, sorry, General Jacob, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Just, I think there were two direct questions. I think Honourable Kola Barnard asked about the crime challenges and whether we knew the grading and how to become the grading. Maybe just a matter of correction. Crime challenges does not do the grading of an event. The event is graded by a specific event office in the area of civil police. And either depending on the grading of the event, either be at national office or at provincial office. What crime intelligence does provide is a threat assessment, which, and the purpose of that threat assessment would be to guide and direct operational units for determining that. And as the report would indicate, we did indicate that there's got certain threats and certain possibilities of state invasion. So that, but we couldn't necessarily identify direct active threats that suggested people were going to invade or cause damage specifically. I think that also that answers the question. I think, yeah, those answers are pretty both the crime intelligence question. That's what I see. Thank you.
Any other police questions? Right, let's move on. We're beyond already our finishing time. Let's go to General Sitole.
Yeah, Honourable Chair, thanks. We just wanted to maybe add to the Deputy Minister spoke about linking the process to schools and we just wanted then to indicate that one of our pronouncements that has been made by the President in Esona, a youth crime prevention strategy that's going to be implemented. So we just wanted to indicate that within that strategy we have got a program called Crime Prevention Through Sports and Recreation, so we'd also link it to this particular process. The second one, we also want to include vetting, to bring in vetting into this whole process, especially the number of security companies, because they are not only within this environment, they are actually becoming a national security threat outside, but we're also taking that together with CIRA. They're not a question of the community, their behavior, and the rest. One of the other pronounced strategies by the President from our side is the community policing strategy, and we would like to venture into it together with SAFA and the rest, which is part of this. Finally, from the side of the police, we want to apologize that such a situation has been created in which honorable members have to come sit here and ask questions and be and share so much content. I think our apology is substantiated by the fact that our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising each time we fall. And we promise to rise. Thank you.
Thank you, John Sitori. DG, you're the last one.
Thank you very much, coaches, and honorable members of the two committees.
Yes, sir.
I see you checking your watch. We are doing our oversight work. Lunch can stand.
if you are going for lunch, we have follow-up questions.
Sir, no, let's leave.
I have follow-up questions, Chair.
No, sir.
If allow that you are going to give us an opportunity to have follow-up questions.
Sir, no. Let me make it very clear. I don't know whether you were out or not. I indicated that we will give the different institutions or departments an opportunity for respond. Mm-hmm. If they don't respond to your specific question, they must give us in writing those responses. So that is the arrangement. There's other meetings also taking place this afternoon. Currently, we have some of our members as well. So until 1 o'clock was the lead time. Mm-hmm. Yes, DG, let's go.
Chairperson?
Yes.
You know, I've got one. Because we said we don't have to ask questions. We're talking about the lives of people. We also have to put some input, some advice, and I have that. So close me out to only justice.
Yeah. So you're welcome to give it in writing, but unfortunately we ran out of time. Remember, there was during the meeting, there's some members that asked.
It's not even 3 minutes.
No. Thank you. Let's go to the DG. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Chair, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we as the department have, and that's what the minister said, we have already met with SAFA and the PSN, and we have received an interim report of the PSN, and we have studied carefully that report, and we have also considered today what the police have said. And as directed by the minister, this, in our opinion, reaffirms the need for a ministerial committee of inquiry to look into the affairs of what has transpired. We are to be able to proceed with that dependent on the attitude of stadium management. If it does not cooperate, we unfortunately have no other option but to pursue a full judicial committee of inquiry. But our first prize, really, it would be for us to pursue a ministerial committee of inquiry. It's a bit flexible, it's faster, it's affordable, but it helps us arrive at recommendations which most of the members have put forward. The commitment we can give is that we will pursue the matter. There were interim measures Minister has announced. For starters, as it happens between PSL and SAFA, the Minister has appointed a Deputy Minister to facilitate and be a mediator between the two bodies, and he would soon convene a forum for the two bodies to meet. Secondly, on the issue of player versus country, Minister intends to issue a Section 13 directive in terms of the National Sport and Recreation Act to allow for both SAFA and the PSL to conclude a process whereby they can sign on the domestic calendar, and that the department is a signatory to that, and also for international fixtures, which will pave way for us to also see in that same manner. Minister is putting in place a dispute resolution mechanism between the two bodies, which will go a long way. She intends to appoint the Deputy Minister once more to be an arbitrator between the two for their disputes if they do arise. And lastly, the other measure the Minister is putting forth, she's also issuing another Section 13 directive in terms of the law to allow for the bodies, including the police and everyone involved in stadium security, for all matches that are categorized as high risk, to get a briefing prior to the meetings taking place and prior to the events actually proceeding. So with that, we believe that we go a long way in evaluating what is on the table and what has been said, and to also verify. It is not in our nature to have a capacity to be an inspectorate, but we would make an effort to evaluate everything that comes before us and to assess that indeed we are in a position where we can agree. We also believe, Chair, that the responsibilities in the law, as espoused, typically our biggest concern is that this seems to appear, the same regulations apply right across the board for all codes. But the challenges we're having are not in rugby and in cricket and elsewhere. They are specifically in football. And we have to study further as to the causes and the reasons why. Is it the profile of the spectators, and is it the nature of what we're dealing with? And that can be an issue left to second guessing. It has to be carefully analyzed and studied, and so that our remedial actions are responsive to what exactly we're dealing with. Because if there was significant weakness with legislation, the chaos should occur right across all courts and at all major matches, and even those categorized at medium. But if it is only peculiar to football, then it means that we have to study carefully as to what is the issue. But where we are, we believe that the Ministerial Committee of Inquiry would help us achieve that, and we will pursue that with vigor and with the greatest of dedication, and hope that the pledges we received from all parties, that they would indeed participate in the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DJ. I'm giving over now to the co-chair. Thank you.
Thank you, co-chair. Honorable members, when I was contributing, I've said today is the day in the history of this committee that we are gathered here and with a purpose. And I did say, let's ask questions, let's contribute, but also let's go back to our drawing boards to interact with the presentations, with the questions. I'm suspecting that also as the relevant committees will do so back to our own committees. Let me take this opportunity to thank the police committee that they set aside all that they were supposed to do today. They've respected this committee through this ministry when we were saying, come, this is a national issue. Thank you so much, honorable members. Let me come and to you, honorable stakeholders. I'm saying honorable stakeholders. Sometimes we do think that you are only honorable members. You are deployed where you are, and your position is very important because you are looking at the same membership that we are taking care of. So you had to come here leaving all what you are supposed to do. There are those who are not government stakeholders that you get into your pockets and you honor this. You, some, they were thinking that because you leaders, you have spoken in the media, why should you come here? Other people said, why did you call these people? But I've seen that it did serve the purpose. Honorable, the chairperson of KZN, she did call me because she was expecting us to go and visit, and we wanted to go and check the damage. And as I'm closing, I was the first one of saying that how dare beating a woman like that, until my office trying to check with the stadium management, as we are saying, honorable the doctor, they've said, no, Chairperson, it was not a woman. The problem that we are having in South Africa is some of our media people, because they didn't go there and check, they just issued media statements, and then we fall trap on that. I was amongst the culprits that I was saying, I'm a gender activist. How come that when we're going to look and watch the match, these men and few women that I don't think as some honorable that they were not high, how can you do that? So I'm thanking our department that also he took initiative. We always support good cause of this department. So I'm thanking our staff. They were not sleeping because our media people also that they were concerned, they were calling us every now and then. So let's also say thank you to those who don't politicize killings of people and the destruction of the state assets. Let's not do that. With those words, I'm suspecting DG and the chairperson, whilst the deputy minister is not there, this is not the end, because we need to assess where are we out of this meeting. I'm very sorry, honourable members. I know my comment that they can't not be happy not doing follow-ups. I'm promising you we have a chance to debate again in the committee and see what are we going to do. The meeting is closed.